This is episode 25 of Crippled System.
Musing and amusing.
Road to war!
You gotta say who you are.
Yeah.
This is Moshe Wentworth. Nobody out there has heard of me.
Oh. False.
Wait, what factions do you play?
Hey, he plays Envirobear.
I play Envirobear, and I play Legion of Everblight.
Nice. Right.
And then we'll just go. Yeah.
This is Jim.
I'm done.
Oh, you don't play War Machine. You play Raven and Shay.
I have Raven and Shay. I'm going to keep them. Yeah.
Right. This is Keith, and I play Crix, Signar, and Circle.
No more pirates?
There's always
pirates. He plays any broken list people will let him take to a tournament. Plays broken. That's his faction.
Yes.
Oh, is that broken? I'm in.
This is Keith, and I play broken. Lance, fix that.
This is Jeremy. And I play Rhett and Legion.
We say that all the time, though.
We say that all the time.
He doesn't fix shit, though. We just assume.
Occasionally, we tell Rhett to fact check us, too.
Lance, get on that. This is Nathan. I play with pigs and cock. I like to say cock every once in a while just to see Andy's facial expression.
Excuse me,
I call them convergence.
He wasn't
naturally
talking about War Machine there. that was not War Machine related.
The sound effects that the Craig Ferguson like sound effects whenever someone
Tootsie Fruitsie.
Yeah.
What's it coming to go?
I play the Tootsie Fruitsie.
This is Nathan. I play with pigs and what's it coming to go?
You got to give him a mic.
This is Jordan B, and I play Doom Reavers.
Nice.
I will admit I was so happy when I saw that you lost. I nothing against you as a person, but I saw Jeremy post that I beat Jordan. I'm like, good, fuck that guy.
Hey, Jordan is a very important story.
So
very
by
important
nothing writer against you as a person, he meant everything against you as a person?
No, I like Jordan. I'm just happy when he loses.
Jordan's X and 1 game was the best game of all time. I'm going to let you finish, but.
Okay.
This is Andy, and I no longer play Trollbloods.
So what do you play?
Until I have them painted. So I got something up on our Facebooks, so see if other people can maybe decide my faction.
Where are they going to get painted?
To me.
Oh, you're painting
people?
I'm painting them.
You're painting. So you'll be back to Trollbloods in like again. 5 years?
5 years. That's the going rate.
We should have a side bet going.
He's going to start playing Trollbloods right when Ben starts playing his Rhett.
Wow. So you're trying to vote for your next faction? This is a bad choice. It's going to end up Kador.
It's already Kador.
They're the only ones who care.
It's overwhelming.
It's already just overwhelmingly Kador.
Don't do it.
I voted Menos just so that your Avatar and your Kreos would see some table time.
You
voted as Crippled System then.
I didn't see
yours.
Well, that's because my phone, like, I'm on my Facebook as me, and then my phone shows my picture, and I go to post, and it posts, and my picture's there, and then my picture turns into the Crippled System picture. And I can't make it stop doing that. It taunts me.
So you're posting as Richard McGoose, and then it turns into Crippled System.
Yes, Richard Bag McGoose.
Nice.
And I'm Brian, and I play Crix.
Oh, I thought you would introduce first.
There are so many people.
Well, most of us won't talk.
But on the bright side, it's not super hot and sweaty in the room.
We are in a new, exciting room, so if the sound is all crazy, let us know.
Also, Jeremy's holding his microphone like a talk show host, so it's going to be awful. Stop filleting the microphone.
What Jeremy is doing right now is almost as gay as his vehicle.
Hey.
Almost.
My vehicle's way gayer.
You're right.
What about your love of mojitos?
They are delicious.
I don't know what a mojito is.
It's delicious.
It is rum and simple syrup.
And
some mint.
Mint. The mint is key.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
It is.
It's
delicious.
Good.
It's just got a gay-sounding name.
It's got a gay-sounding name. And, like, they make all kinds of, like, gum and, like, body wash and shit and mojito scent and flavors. So it's
yes,
just,
but I don't
it's
enjoy
gayest
those. I enjoy the drink.
Yeah.
I thought the air would help.
So we don't
have... We've got a podcast caddy today.
Yeah. Marshall the podcast caddy.
While you're at it, find something to drink from upstairs for me.
Yeah, you know, when I originally moved the whole podcast
care
into
anything
the new
of theirs
room,
is free to me, so.
I really
just
thought
go for it.
There was only going to be like five of us here. I did not expect the like eight. So.
Well, we had some special guests.
Guest stars.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of people.
Is there an agenda?
We normally have an agenda written down. And we may have
dropped the ball on that today.
Which means we're probably not going to post.
Usually I have the agenda, but I worked until 15 minutes ago, so I didn't have time to write an agenda.
Upcoming events in Madison that only three listeners care about.
Yeah, but Keith, it kills time.
You're nowhere near your mics.
Yeah. Keith drones on about events for like 4 hours on their podcast.
This is true.
Yeah,
Saturday, June 15th, 50-point Theme Force event at Misty Mountain Games in Madison.
Can we have a vote to change that to anything else?
Nope, sorry. You are stuck with it.
Is your party a part of an event?
June 16th, everyone's welcome to go to Nathan Riddivan's house. He and me, I'll send you his address.
I'll give you his phone number, too, if you want.
This could be hilarious.
Anyone who wants to come to my house is welcome.
Be warned, neighborhood isn't that good.
There's a warning in there.
When I get home, I need a Facebook invite Art Paul Schlosser. See if I can get him to come.
I will tentatively be at the tournament. If there are people there that would rather play 50-point non-Theme Force games, I'll play those instead.
You're going to play your own tournament? You're going to mutiny? There is an amazing barbecue place like a block away from Misty I'm going to try to get everybody to go to.
Oh, speaking of amazing
instead of playing Papa the Bears. Theme Force tournament?
Not heard of it. I heard of the one by Northport. Have you heard of that one?
This is just like a little like one-room strip mall barbecue place that's like literally a guy and like his three kids do it.
A one-room strip barbecue.
And his three kids
with
do
a guy
it.
And his three kids. That's horrible.
And they're doing it.
That does sound like a Nathan place.
It sounds like a Nathan place.
It's called Papa Bears.
Those kind of bears?
Yes.
There's a place,
that's Jeremy.
In Chicago, there's a place called Just Turkey we ate at.
Oh, it was so good.
Jizz Turkey?
Just Turkey. Jizz Turkey. Although that sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
Hey, no, it doesn't.
Jason's joined the podcast. Hey.
No, it was delicious.
I was watching shitty movies on Netflix, and there was a quote-unquote horror movie called Thanksgiving, where there's a turkey killing people. And it made no sense. And then there's a scene where the turkey's driving a car, and he stops to pick up a hitchhiker. And the hitchhiker opens the door, and he's like, oh, okay, turkey, whatever. Like, this guy doesn't care. He acts totally natural. Like, and the turkey's like, hey, cash, grass, or ass. No one rides for free. And the guy's like, all right. So the guy offers sex to the hitchhiker with a turkey. And that's when I stopped watching this movie.
What happened next?
Stop there.
Now it's stop just, on Netflix and tell us what happens next.
It's just getting interesting.
Yeah.
Rinth fact checked that for us.
Jizz Turkey is the porno spin-off of that.
Do you have to do what you say?
No.
Not on the podcast?
Rinth can do whatever.
I'm pretty sure Rinth doesn't fact check us.
Any other upcoming events?
Everything you said was false.
That's the next one. July 5th, we have a 50-point standard tournament on July 6th in Madison.
I think on July 6th, there's also a tournament in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes, but unfortunately...
With much better prize support.
Oh, we got to mute that.
Yeah, but then you're in Iowa.
Let's go ahead and edit that out.
I know. I've heard that they like to mess with the matchups to make sure their favorite people win, so I wouldn't go.
That is
reliable
true.
Sources.
That is Well, no. John does that, and Colin is running the tournament.
Okay. So
Colin may pair the winners, the 3-0s against the 0-3s by accident because he's dyslexic, but he's not going to intentionally screw anyone.
I can't promise
that anything will be done correctly, but it will be unintentional.
Well, as long as it's unintentionally bad.
Incompetence is better than malice.
I suppose.
And it's only been proven that Fat Asian and I have malicious intent.
It's true.
Mostly John.
Mostly John.
Mostly John, yes.
So we could do everyone's favorite topics and have a quick summary of three or four of us went to a tournament last weekend.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Kill last weekend. Me. Well, whenever.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah.
Next yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday as we record.
Well, I can give my microphone to Jordan, who was there, and I can go beat my head against a wall.
Well, okay. Unlike some podcasts, we won't mention our review. You know, this would actually be an hour and a half, which I know some of you would like. I'm sorry. We'll maybe be, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
I will do my best to stretch it out a little bit.
Jeremy does not have a notebook full of notes.
Oh, I got it all up here today.
That's great.
Oh, Christ.
So, like 2 or 3 minutes.
Everyone played 4 rounds. The top tables played 5. So we'll go over kind of what happened real quick. Yep. I don't know. Who wants to start going at?
We should have
you want Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan,
start.
Go first.
You should go find me something to drink.
Yeah, this is Jordan. I was playing my K-Dor as per usual. I am loud. All right,
yeah,
I'll try to be less loud.
That's better.
With Butcher. Turns out playing nothing but Doom Reavers in casual games have made me not able to play my P-Butcher gun line with any sort of competence yet, or any longer. Anyways, first round of the tournament, E-Butcher goes down against some Retribution. Ended up winning that on scenario, as per usual, with E-Butcher. Gentleman's name was Seth. It was a very fun game, but he just wasn't playing first scenario, so that one ended.
Sure.
Second round, to come up against Jeremy, unfortunately, and this is where... I know he's going to play Saren. He's playing Legion. He's got P. Lilith and Saren. He's going to play Saren. I know he's going to play that.
P. Vale and Saren.
P. Vale and Saren.
That's what Jake was playing.
They might be the identical lists.
He might have copied those.
They might be his list.
You think there's any chance Jeremy came up with competitive lists on his own?
No. Point.
P. Butcher goes down, of course, as a gun line, and Jeremy goes first, runs his army towards me. If I had deployed or activated my first turn with any kind of competence, I'd had a reasonable chance to kill both of his angels before the game even started, which pretty much would just give me a lock on the match. I deployed incorrectly. I activated incorrectly. Neither of them died. We then proceeded to have a Rochambeau game of proceeding to kick each other in the nuts. Did miss a few critical rolls and ended up losing that game. But can't blame the dice. I shouldn't have allowed that to happen. Completely threw that game away to Jeremy.
Yeah.
I now proceeded to be in the 1-1 bracket, where I'm hoping to have fun for the rest of the day and just relax. What is Nathan laughing about?
Nothing. Go on. I just have the giggles because I almost destroyed everything. Almost. Don't worry, Addy. I didn't destroy anything.
Don't. What are you doing?
I just rotated the microphone around so I could use it. Then it started to tip, but I stopped it. Apparently it's not balanced to turn backwards.
No. Anybody else?
So in the 1-1 bracket, I unfortunately became the pair-up versus Jordan Nock and his Cricks, whom Brian and Jeremy had both been praying to not have to face. So I have to play yet another very, very competent epic Lich player. E. Butcher goes down, of course. It couldn't have been more advantageous to me on the big key pieces, which is me going first and there not being any rough terrain in the middle of the table. There were a couple walls. Those aren't a big issue. The one piece of rough terrain was on my side of the table, and after running first turn with advanced deploy, I was already beyond it by the time, you know, anything meaningful.
So going first was huge in that game, I believe.
Yeah. Me going... Epic Lich can go first, and it doesn't end the game. Epic Butcher and Doom Reavers going first really does swing things with the advanced deploy and the not caring about my troops. I did manage to pull that game out. It was a very, very long game. There was a good 10-minute turn where Jordan Nock spent these 10 minutes contemplating all the different ways that Epic Butcher could feasibly get rage tokens to give to Doom Reavers to assassinate Lich, which your mind can't wrap around the possibilities because they're endless. But you have to remember that I have to roll enough focus and have the Doom Reavers alive to also kill the enemy troops for this to happen. I never defeated in this match. It never came up. But I ended up, again, pulling this one out on scenario. It was
well, one funny thing. I know you won, but he did finish off your conquest with a Warwinch Siren that was from the feat. Like, he didn't have to...
Yeah, he feated for attrition because I had Butcher just a little bit too far away, and he couldn't kill the dog, and there was a wall on one side, so he couldn't get enough attacks on Butcher. And he just ended up rolling kind of poorly against the conquest, which he should have melted. So the 10th model that he'd feated back, the Warwinch Siren, was actually the last one to come in and charge and kill the conquest, which should have died much easier to the, you know, the one thrall, the 7 Bane Knights, the Tartarus, and should have died much easier. But very hard-fought game, and everyone who was in the winner's bracket was very thankful.
Well,
I took
whenever the pair-up wins, and, you know, because
it shortens the rounds, yeah. So...
It has nothing to do with that. Neither of you guys wanted to fight him.
We don't have to fight an E-Gaspy player. We're not going to be upset about that.
Yeah, I'm never going to cry over an E-Gaspy player losing.
I then proceeded to play a Dan, a local from Madison. Played him several times before. Another Crix player.
I love the games.
Epic Butcher goes down against P-Scar Infantry Spam. I managed again to go first. I did have a very glorious feat turn on top of 2. Butcher kills about 10 models. Doom Reavers kill another 10. I end up giving out 21 rage tokens.
Which had to feel kind of good.
Which does always feel good. With the rage tokens, kill Tartarus, kill the majority of Dan's remaining army. Put 3 boosted to hit, boosted damage attacks into Scar. Left her on 2 health. And I really think I have this game in the bag at this point. I did spend 30 minutes doing this turn, but he doesn't have enough models left to clear the six Doom, like the five Doom Reavers and Fenris that are blocking the 7 inches between Scar and Epic Butcher. He just can't clear them out of the way. He doesn't have enough attacks. He has to take some wild AoE spells trying to drift onto Doom Reavers to clear him out. We actually shake hands, and then he turns, still on Scar's activation, and says, boosted Sack Strike, and proceeds to roll trip sixes. Then with his two remaining focus, rolls the hard 8 to hit me with a Hellfire, and the hard 9 to kill Butcher. And that ends the
I'm telling you, Mark,
turn.
That's called Mark 1 style, baby. Yeah. You just scar bomb someone in the face, and then you finish them off with like a little dinky spell.
So that was
25 tournaments that way in Mark 1.
I'm fairly sure if that hadn't happened, I would have ended up on the third or fourth, the second finals table, but I had to come back to Madison for work anyway, so that was
fun. You guys shook hands, you said good game, you're like, let me try this one last thing, and then you just yelled at him after you got it. It was like really easy. You couldn't believe that he rolled, well, I don't know who's more shocked, him or you, that he rolled triple sixes on that Scarbomb.
We were both fairly, it was almost as if with one hand we were shaking hands, and with the other hand he throws 3 dice down, and he has dice that have skulls on the sixes. He proceeded to give me a hug after about 5 minutes of me calling him a bitch, and I think we're good again.
Pro tip: don't call your opponent a bitch.
Well, unless they're Danner, you know.
Unless it's who?
It was one of our locals.
I feel like you're kind of being a douche.
It's another Madisonian.
Yeah,
so we can call each other.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That was
a
local. That's perfectly acceptable.
If you even know him.
Yeah. No, you don't do that to someone you don't know.
Yeah, I could call. I would call Nate.
Yeah, I mean, I would call him. I mean, I call him crump names.
Well, does say my name, bitch, count?
I think
Benghazi
so.
Pulls, okay. Benghazi well, can... pulls on links to crump, and crump never gets a joke. He's like, this reminds me of crump, and some links on picture, and then crump's like, I don't get it,
and that's why it's funny.
Crump doesn't understand the humor of Benghazi.
By the way, I'm figuring out how much time that just took and seeing that there's 3 other people who are at that event. And I just want to say, listeners who wanted more War Machine on topic talk, you can
What's
go fuck yourselves. You? Seriously. I'm in like a special circle of hell right now.
You want to do
why aren't we talking about poop and stuff?
My battle reports will be short and sweet.
Thank you.
Well, you want to go next?
Because, I like Jordan. He's a good guy. But that whole time, I just wanted to eat a gun.
I enjoyed the conversation.
Do that with, like, butter?
Nathan,
or?
You were just doing Nathan, what's your report?
I was working all day yesterday.
Yeah.
Very excited.
My life sucks.
I printed off some documents for some customers.
I can talk about some Iron Gauntlet games.
No.
No.
You case cracker.
So, Andy, how did your day go?
My day went, I lost, I won.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay!
I'll at least mention the people that I faced against. I took on Dan Skibo.
Hey, you learn that EK can charge and still shoot.
Hey, yep.
21
I learned a thing.
Boys and girls, be 21 and a quarter from him.
Yep. and I also learned
EK.
Yeah.
Yep, I failed horribly at protecting Doomshaper that round, so yeah.
21 inches is very long.
Yeah,
that's what she
Harbinger can eyeball that like a boss.
Yeah.
I think you're an inch past there.
Quickly, my second game, I took on Christian Laird, who had a Doom Shaper Tier 4 Theme Force, which was very oddly familiar because that's exactly what I had. I chose Borka, and I lost to him by got clocked out.
It's a popular Theme Force amongst people who can get it for free or discounted.
Yes, but that game just. I lost all faith in everything at that game.
Well,
I just kind of stared at the table for like 20 minutes and let my death clock run out. then I took on Robert Johnson. It was another Kane 2, and I beat him. And Davis Messer, turns out that Constance Blaze's feat isn't really that great when it's under Doomshaper 1's feat.
Well, if they hit on the same turn, it's fine. It's just a question of if she comes back, if she feats and then Doomshaper feats, very
don't
bad.
Get counter-feated.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
What happened.
Don't get counterfeited with Connie. Although Doomshaper has no reason at all to use it before then.
No.
Nope.
So it's hilarious. And between the two of them, if they have to both just not have a feat, he's much happier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're better off just feeding right away with her, I'm sure, and getting it over with so that you can use Transference the rest of the game.
Yeah.
His one turn of Transference, he's like, I think Constance takes D6. He's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing that again. That was pretty much it. That's my results.
As a side note, I appreciate the gesture, but RC10 might be the worst flavored soda I've ever had in my life.
I want to thank you for the soda. I am going to drink it, much. But I've never drank in a worse soda. I'm going to continue finishing it.
Brian opened his, took a sip, and made a face like he'd just been castrated. And then I opened mine and sipped it and thought, yeah, it's about right.
I'm still drinking it. I'm thirsty.
Hey, it is cold and thirst quenching.
Diet it tastes more like Sprite than cola.
Diet
Sunkist is quite good.
Sunkist lemonade is amazing. Bizarre.
I wasn't sure what to expect when I tasted it. That was not it.
Hey.
All right.
It says it's only 10 great. It's 10 great tasting calories.
Keith is also making a castrated face. He's sad. It's like
it
somebody
more like Sprite.
Imagine a 4-year-old kid watching Santa get his throat slashed on Christmas morning. That's the face Keith.
My brother,
making.
When I was 4 or 5, told me he shot Santa. I was pretty upset.
He's breaking into the house.
Hey, you guys wondering why
I
gave out
June
a bunch
too.
Of RC10?
No, I am not.
Like, please drink these. They taste like ass.
Yeah. I sometimes like RC Cola, but I got some of that because, you know, it's less sugar, obviously. And, well, no, it tastes like shit.
I've been on just a plain old Coca-Cola kick lately. God, that stuff is good.
Their slogan should be RC10, the great taste of a rim job with only 10 calories.
You can forget them being a sponsor.
This episode of Crippled System brought to you by RC10.
The great taste of a rim job with 10 low, low calories. That's poo-tacular.
You got your poo talking.
Oh,
feeling better?
Feeling much better.
Good.
I saw one of my favorite things on the Muse forums.
Yeah.
Somebody has named their storm trolls.
Yes.
Zappity
and Grumble.
That's wonderful.
All right. We invented this thing called a lightning round where we answer a bunch of tweets or emails and we just spam them right through.
I like it.
It's
super original.
We needed the lightning sound effect in between each one.
Which is Zappity and Grumble.
Well, the lightning, first it was like kaboom, and they're like, no, that's the sound of thunder. So I started doing Zappity, and then Andy would add the Grumble.
Grumble.
Because that's the sound of the thunder following up the lightning.
Yeah.
Also, I smile every time on the Muse forum. The thing that every time I log on makes me happy, because I know that Keith hates this thing that I love, is somebody's SIG, Tort, I believe is his username. His signature is a quote from me talking about how much I love High School of the Dead.
It is.
And Keith hates High School of the Dead. But it's wonderful. Because the quote has the phrase boob science, which might be the favorite thing I've ever said.
How can a quote with boob science and it be bad?
It can't be. And High School of the Dead's wonderful.
In its own special way.
And yes, exactly, its own special way.
I think Keith doesn't understand.
I also miss Marshall because I look at Ogloff, and then on Wednesdays I have nobody to talk about Ogloff with. I did not see Glamazons. I did see, like, there were two skeletons, and one skeleton was bemoaning the fact that he didn't have enough sex when he was alive. And the other skeleton's like, you can still have sex now. And he, like, stuck a bone in his pelvis. He's like, yeah, suck on that bone. And the guy's like, dude, I'm a heterosexual male. And the guy's like, really? With those hips? These skeleton gay sex jokes are the best.
See, battle reports are exciting on our podcast.
Glamazons may have a weapon called a throwing anus.
A
throwing anus?
I know what it looks like.
A can of RC Cola.
Speaking of RC Cola, does anybody else want another?
No,
I'll take
I'm
another
good.
One.
Brian is still drinking it.
I'm just thirsty. What is wrong with you people?
It hurts, but
it's
thirsty.
Cold.
It's like watching people in a POW camp.
I feel like I'm drinking razor blades.
My throat.
I wish I was dead.
Anyway,
Brian, you have battle reports.
I have battle reports. We'll make
I was going to go first. All right.
Yeah. All right. So, Trump.
Save round 5 for me.
I will save round 5 for you.
Hey, also, this is another tournament battle report where Jeremy's going second to last and saving the championship round for somebody else. I wonder why that is.
Fuck you. Actually, I can tell you why that is.
Remember that time when you and I played in the finals?
Yeah, this was different. This was different. And if Brian tries to lie about it, I will call him on it.
Hey, that picture that was sent was the greatest picture ever.
That's me leaning on the table.
You look so happy.
Yeah. You looked
the board is all
cricks.
Did he look epic Nate getting temporal barrier happied? Because that's still the best picture I've ever seen.
He looked like, between that and he just drank an RC10.
We had people watching the game. And they would just, like, go, oh, and then walk away for a while because they couldn't watch it anymore. But anyway, so spoiler alert, I may have gone to round 5. First game I played against an EKane player. He was, I think his name was John. I don't have my notes. Yep. I don't have my notes in front of me, so shot him to death with P-Vale.
What? You killed your opponent?
I did.
You shouldn't shoot your opponent to death. That's bad.
You let them do it themselves.
Yeah. So
you
top
just
of
let
two,
him play nail.
Top of two, assassination, P-Vale, Horfrost. It was really cool. So, anyway, round two, I played Jordan. You guys heard how that one went. Round three, I played against Jeremy Patterson, or Zombie Dude, and he was... What?
Let us know when you're going to talk about your next tournament round.
Or the next round.
Round four?
Yeah, tell us when you're done talking about round three.
Okay. So round three, Zombie Dude, he was kicking my ass pretty good with Egrim, but then, again, assassination with P-Vale. I got an Arc Node up, Horfrost stationaried him, and then Typhon just sprayed him to death.
All right.
And apparently...
Zappity! Grumble!
They were so excited for that.
They were so excited for that. Oh, my God. Round...
It's like a new comedy duo. They just... Keith is like, why am I on this podcast? I expect class and... I need crump level
Keith, you lived here. Why would you expect class or professionalism?
We have such good mic control in this group, too, because we don't talk over each other at all. So anyway, round four, I played against Nate White, who I played against last time I was there. He was playing E-Butcher.
Nate Caucasian. White is... That's racist.
I'm sorry. He was playing E-Butcher last time I went up to Chicago, and this time he was rocking... Mercs, and the list I played against was Mad Hammer. Turns out Mad Hammer's whole list, he just doesn't care about his list because he is the list. So I destroyed his whole list except Mad Hammer, and then I had two beasts in melee with Mad Hammer. Mad Hammer had not yet feeded, and Saren was within 12 inches. So he dropped his ground zero or whatever it is and rolled damage. One of the beasts was a shredder. He blew the shredder 6 inches back, and then he rolled damage on the angel, needing a 5 to damage it, rolled a 4. And then rolled distance, and I got ready to move my guy, and I said, wait a second, don't you have to damage me to move me with that spell? And he goes, I don't know.
What kind of health was Mad Hammer at?
Mad Hammer had 2 health.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, what's a lot better is simply walking away.
Or it's also, isn't the ground zero an AoE, so doesn't he feet first and get boosted damage on it?
There were lots of things he could have done differently. He also had plenty of focus to boost the damage on it. Like,
this was about an hour and 50 minutes into the game, they were really kind of exhausted.
Yeah. He had 8 minutes on his clock. I'd already spent an entire Scythian's activation and an entire Angel's activation attacking him to put him to 2 health, because my damage rolls were less than stellar against his caster. So, you know, shit happens.
And he was at 4 victory points, and you only
he was
like,
also at 4 victory
one
points.
One model near the near flag. The other flag. So he was all he had to do was walk. You know, run
more
zero.
Importantly, when he ground zeroed, he was already base to base with the flag. So if he just didn't move, he won.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it was all kinds of bad. But he didn't roll the damage.
Well, assuming he pushed the beast more far enough away that he wasn't.
He rolled a 6 for the distance.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, but then he didn't actually move me. So he was like, well, I guess I'll take a free strike. Dead.
Yeah.
So that was. There were lots of things he could have done to beat me. We both had like.
Is the Scythian's claw blast damage?
No.
Oh, okay.
Afraid not.
Just checking.
We both had about 8 minutes left on our clocks. It was a crazy game. And on top of both of us being stressed out, there were like 15 people watching
the game. You had half
Brian. Brian keeps every few minutes. You know the scene in Airplane where he pokes his head into the door and he goes, "We're all counting on you." Brian, like every 3 minutes, would come over to the table and step up behind me. He's like, "I'm waiting for you." Like that was for like the last 30 minutes of the game. Brian would just like he'd do that. He'd walk over to another part of the room. He'd wait 3 minutes. He'd come back over. "I'm waiting for you."
Oddly, Brian does that in my bedroom. Like I'll just be sitting there and he'll just poke his head in the door.
So anyway, and then...
Holding a can of butter.
Yes. He has butter in one hand and War of the Ring in the other hand, and I'm always torn which to use.
So then round five, I'll let Brian talk about.
All right. I'm not sure what a can of butter is, just for the record, but right. I thought it'd sound good.
I will try to get through this fast. Round two, I am playing P-Denny, E-Denny. E-Denny has Bane. It's a Bane spam. It's actually take almost Keith's Gatsby list and just put E-Denny into it. It pretty much is. It's basically the same thing.
I'm okay with that. No death check?
Yeah, no, because P. Denny has a death jack. My P. Denny list is 13 models. It's like a nightmare death jack, wrong
eye,
snapjaw.
It's all stealth except for the death jack.
Exactly. It's a really fun list. It's
nightmare, wrong eye, snapjaw,
submerging.
I've
won like 13 out of 14 games of that list now. It's amazing.
And cool. The one you lost, like, it was just because it's you like didn't care. You literally ran your opponent.
I actually threw my one loss was I just didn't care because I was having
you
so much,
threw the game.
I threw the
There's
game.
A Leviathan in it, right?
No.
It's Nightmare, wrong eye, snapjaw, submerging, death jack.
Two Ripjaws, two Pistol Race, two Warwitch, Sirens, and Gorman.
And that's it. And so it's just, all this non like it's just nice shooting and it's all too strong. It's hilariously effective.
Yeah. I knew Brian when he played Warhammer Fantasy, and that's his Slaanesh list. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I play
that's
this,
your list.
Yeah, it's yeah, it really.
The Leviathan is really interesting with P. Denny. Just because,
oh,
like,
I completely agree.
Parasite plus Leviathan is like yeah. kill a heavy.
Yeah, but Leviathans don't have stealth, so they don't fit in that list.
I suppose.
Yeah,
you could take the Deathjack out and put the Leviathan in.
Yeah, the shenanigans. So that was my two lists.
Hey, whatever, Keith. You didn't win this tournament, so who's the better player here?
Ryan.
Yes. Yeah.
We invited you to come down. I said, hey, you guys, you're like, oh, we're busy. We just went to lock and load it. There was a big thing somewhere. And I'm like, whatever. It's not some other state. Who cares? So, I have pictures of my game. Yours is a video. Ooh.
Pictures are way better.
Yeah.
It's true.
I was here in Madison yesterday.
Well, what the hell?
You son of a bitch.
Nice of you to mention it to us.
Yeah.
I was playing board games.
Fucker. I only worked until 1 yesterday. I was just had my thumb in my ass jerking off the rest of the day, which
Nate,
although fun,
I'm going,
I started to chafe.
I'm going frisbee golfing after lunch yesterday. Do you want to go?
I have a text in here from Jim, which is that the timestamp is from like 1:57 p.m. And it's like, hey, we're... Oh, wait, no, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to find it because I want to see the actual math here. I got this this text message at 6:36 p.m. and he's saying, "Go Joe at 6:35 at point if you want to come." So he messaged me to come to a movie that started a minute earlier.
Did you make it?
I did not make it in time. And apparently he thought this was double hilarious because May 9th at 9:56, he said, "Hey, want to see Star Trek at 10?
You could have made that one.
Yeah. You know, if my teleportation device was perfected.
Consider how much more time you even than the last time. I mean, you should be in your car at all times just waiting to go somewhere.
That was 5 minutes more heads up.
Yeah, I mean,
you just need to just follow Jim around.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
need to camp out at the theater in case Jim shows up and wants to see a movie.
According to you, you can get from the north side of Madison to here in 10 minutes.
I'm glad I didn't go with you to Star Trek anyway, because you would have been a bummer to be around.
I wasn't a bummer. I like the movie okay-ish. I just said it's worse than the other one. It's not the same
better.
As saying...
I thought it was really good.
It is worse than
it was worse than the other one.
The last
so many
hour
pointless
was
things. And yes. So much of the movie was superfluous. Made me sad.
As soon as the Nega Prize blew up, it was just like show was over.
The only thing I didn't like about it is that I don't like in both of the first two that the ship that they're dueling outclasses them by so much that they need ridiculous tactics.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be able to beat Khan with some stupid trick.
Yeah. Also that.
And
I
your
think
stupid
that's
track,
just like an ego issue.
Your
like,
stupid trick should
beat
be...
Him.
If you're going to introduce a character into your movie specifically to call that character and ask him for advice in beating the villain, maybe you should use their advice to beat the villain because then the scene isn't just insultingly superfluous.
Also that,
yeah.
And if you're going to hire Benedict Cumberbatch, who's a character who delivers amazing dialogue, perhaps give him some dialogue and don't make him just punch people in unlikely places.
His dialogue was like miniguns or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. He talked with miniguns.
Yeah.
And if you're going to introduce a new character that you're going to have in future movies, have her actually do anything to the plot.
Mm-hmm. She did something very important.
Yeah, she was in her underwear for 10 seconds.
Yes. Which caused huge uproar for no reason.
Also,
there's a hot chick in my movie. She's going to be in her underwear. I'm sorry.
Also, it's general practice that when someone goes through a psychologically enormously traumatic event with people that she wants to stick around them.
Yeah.
It's like watching her father get his head fucking crushed in front of with these other people. She's like, these are the people I want to spend my time with.
Good things happen when I'm around these people.
Yeah. So I don't need any therapy at all. It's fine.
Yeah,
so if you're wondering, this conversation happens every single day of the week, every single time around Nathan, for the past 3 weeks. So if you want more of this conversation that never ends.
I didn't realize because I haven't actually said anything about it.
I know.
And I'm never the one who brings it up, though.
No. And, but you sure
you brought
keep
it up.
Going on.
You said, when I went to see Star Trek, I got this text message.
Yeah,
you brought it up.
It's inevitably somebody else going like, oh, I hope Nathan doesn't talk about this.
Yeah.
And then someone else goes, why not? And then you inevitably have to talk about it.
What actually happens? Here's what's actually happened like the last five times.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. This is it. Because, like, someone will be like, man, like, I listened to your podcast, and gee, Nate, you sure hated Star Trek. I'm like, no, I didn't hate it. I thought it was okay. And then Andy's like, oh, my God, he's complaining about Star Trek again. That's what usually happens.
Rin, fact check this.
You originally said, I gotta give it a BB+. You don't complain about a movie and give it a BB+.
I do when the first one was an A++ fucking perfect masterpiece. I love the other Star Trek. This one was not nearly as good. It's a significant drop in quality.
Why was the Enterprise under the ocean when it could have just been in space?
Why the fuck? Like, why? Why was I was Spock inside of the volcano.
Seems like he could just drop the bomb.
Or, well, the teleporters won't work near the volcano. Then how the fuck did they teleport him out of the volcano, asshats?
They pressed the button.
They didn't have a direct line of sight for him.
Oh, okay, why not? Be above the volcano. Presto, direct line of sight, teleport your fucking bomb into it.
Our fans are breaking their plus 15 button.
Make a movie.
Anyway, round one of my tournaments. I've declared it as my tournament now.
Uh-oh.
It's raining. Everyone
did anyone leave their
it's
car
raining.
Windows open?
People are thinking,
quick, Marshall, go find out. Keith's car.
Let's Keith's, hope not.
Keith's Yo. Looking for a little wet ass.
This is why I bet I'm going to stick forever.
Jeez, Brian, aren't you done with your battle reports?
I know.
Round one?
Round one, I take on Ben Lang.
Hey, Ben Lang.
He throws
love
his,
Ben
Lang. By
the way, side note, Ben Lang,
Ben
awesome
Lang is
guy.
Amazing.
King of second place at Who's the Boss.
Yes.
And he has a Better Off Dead icon on Facebook, and that makes me happy because I love the $2 kid.
He throws down Rashath because he figuring it's out my Arknose. I throw down P. Denny. I win the game by attrition. He throws his Gators too far ahead, so I kill his Gators for no reprisal. He has three Agonizers, which is his buck. He throws an Agonizer, no allocation. Throws an Agonizer 4, no allocation. So it took me like a few extra turns. Nightmare literally killed. Nightmare went through three preys in that game. He kept praying something, killing it, praying something, killing it. Eventually, the fourth prey was a caster. When you combo strike, I love saying dice plus 10 on a charge. It leaves a mark. So I won that game. He actually had my caster down because he kept trying to run things and kept trying to sunder spirit my caster. But that was over. Round two, I faced Dan, who was playing Ekane Pekane. Before the event, this event's divide and conquer. Before the event, he mentioned how he really wanted to play Pekane against an infantry spam list. And he knew I played P. Denny round one, so I think he thought I was going to play E. Denny. So I played P. Denny again. And my P. Denny list he couldn't handle it with P. Kane.
Well, P. Kane isn't going to deal with your Denny list.
Yeah, my whole list. It was the stealth and all campy shots. So I basically ran through his list. It was a bad matchup for him. Round three, I am playing Josh from Madison. It's my first Madison and Madison game. Josh is playing Mercs, and he throws down P. Magnus, Theme Force, and I throw down E. Denny.
Which its hugest weakness is definitely Crix by a country mile.
Yeah.
The list never beats Crix.
He did kill about 20 Bane Knights.
P. Magnus?
Yeah.
Boo.
Never beats Crix.
It's pretty bad.
So he killed a lot of Banes, but I had created 12 to 15 extra Banes. So even though he had killed 20 or so, I still ended, in a very high amount.
He ended with net Banes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, it's bullshit that the Convergence Necrosurgeon ripoff can't make extra guys.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to build the 20 man angel unit and then get the twenty angel CRA.
That's cool. Otherwise, flip side is convert your small base guys into medium base guys.
Yes, also amazing.
I would like to ask who posted to our Twitter feed saying we had special quests.
We do have special quests.
So the next round. So that's that game. So on. Game round four, I'm taking on Tony Faber, who's a Chicago guy. He's playing a Saren list, the exact same list Jeremy's playing.
Oh, yeah, by the way, my two lists were Saren, P-Vale. This lesser-known player named JVM plays them occasionally. You've seen the lists.
I have successfully completed my special quest of completing an RC-10 without vomiting.
So it's
that's seven victory points.
I might vomit just to get the taste of RC-10 out of my mouth.
So, E. Denny versus Saren. He actually played too aggressive, and I was able to lock Saren down on the feet. And I lock Saren down, and then I just get E. Denny on her the first, next turn, teleporter right next to Tartarus and, like, 20 Banes. And Saren couldn't withstand that shenanigans.
That teleport ability is hilarious every time somebody finds out about it.
Yeah.
That teleport ability is fucking broken.
You'll lose one game to every single rule on E. Denny's card at some point in your War Machine career.
Well, the problem with that rule is, are you anywhere near Denny? Well, that's going to be bad.
I miss Mark 1 Marked for Death when you would surprise your opponents by casting it on your own thing because they didn't think that was how you would use it. Because it was like, if you can attack this model, you must. And so, you read and you're like, oh, they'll put it on one of your own guys and they'll force you to attack your own guys and it's going to be horrible. This Denny player is going to make me attack my own Jack and so I'll have to keep the Jack behind myself so I can't see it so I don't have to attack it. And then she casts it on one of her own arc nodes in cover on a hill. And you're like, you are obligated to attack this defense a million model. And you're like, oh, sadness.
Mark 1, fair and balanced, just like
E. Denny didn't need to do that in Mark 1 because your entire army was fleeing and she was invincible because of it.
Yeah,
so
Rengrave
didn't really matter.
Rengrave was too good with her, so they broke him.
At least she didn't take one of your units for free for the whole game.
Wait.
Once they gave free upkeep, that was P. Denny. Once they gave free upkeep to a caster who had an upkeep cost 12 spell.
It was good. No, Edeni
had
thing.
That too.
Yep. Edeni had that same style.
Yeah, yeah. Like I played against.
Oh, I forgot that.
I played against Brian's Edeni list with my trolls. He took one unit of troll champs over for the whole game. The other one, I'm pretty sure that. I'm not even sure they were fearless in Mark 1. I think the other one was... Oh, the other one, I failed a random command check, so they're fighting invincible Rangraves. So he had one champ unit, and the other one couldn't kill anything. And I was just like, I probably shouldn't play trolls anymore. That's my answer to that.
So Tony played over aggressively. He just charged right in my army too much. I'm like, which was actually, he caught me off guard because I'm playing, you know, if you do that, you usually get in trouble. But I wasn't quite positioned for someone to do that, so, but I still got it to his caster. Round four, so Jeremy's all excited because he's in round four. His chance for, to kick some butt. And it's a Madison finals out of town. So
wouldn't that be round five?
Yeah,
round five.
Yeah, he meant round five. Round five, so it's, we're fighting. There's another table. Everyone else gets to go home, so we're going to be there super late because it's like 6-7 o'clock at this time.
Yeah.
I'm playing Eden. He's playing Saren. I get to go first.
Well, Brian like sat down. He's like, man, I don't know which list I'm going to take. I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't know which list I'm going to take either, Brian.
Yeah, there's some fun.
How about you take Edeni against me? We'll see how that goes.
probably would have ended the same. So
I doubt it.
So I go first. I mean, some picture on chat. My the entire board is just layered with Miles. I know his damn blood test. What do we spell?
Blightbringer.
So
it's amazing.
I'm trying to give you as many areas to do it, and my battle thrall is just running forward because it's all beast. So I don't even care about them. So I'm just you have some support, but I'm making you kill them. So he deals with the bile thralls, but you actually miss so many attacks in your turn. Saren, you were missing bile thralls and melee. Your
bottom
Ravagor.
Of round two, I have my entire army just outside of one of the zones, and he has seven models in the zone. At the end of my bottom of turn two, he has four models in the zone.
Yeah, you killed three things.
I did
with a lot of it.
Two of them were bile thralls.
That's a positive number. Can't get better than that.
Yeah.
So I get really ahead of him, and then he feats. I, of course, counter feat, lock him down, and then on my next turn, I end up killing, I think, two and a half of his heavies. And then he basically just never, he never recovered. I will have to admit, and Jeremy may agree with this, my dice were a little hot. I prefer to call it Crick's dice.
He did occasionally have a single dice that was only a four, but that only happened once or twice.
Oh my
the rest
God,
were all fives and sixes.
Fucker! You did that on purpose, you son of a bitch.
What?
Single dice.
Single dice.
What? Huh?
I mean, most of my...
If you have a set of dice and you take one out, it's not a single dice.
No, it's a single dice.
That's not how pluralization works.
I thought it was when you had more than one, they would die. Isn't that how pluraling works?
You want to talk about die.
Most of my average damage rolls and my Bane Thrall charge
well,
that turn was around
guy.
15 damage per hit.
Arguses?
Yeah. He would roll four dice and it was just like, that's
Arguses.
20.
No,
okay.
It's just Argus.
So Arguses. I got really far ahead of him.
I've got
Jeremy did have a harrier where they just wouldn't die.
Yeah. I did refuse to die with that one harrier.
So the game got a little closer than it should have, but eventually I was able to kill all of his models and score five.
Scenarios. Yeah.
Saren did live. She ran away, and I took the zone.
I almost got myself to four control points, but I missed a Hellfire against a Bane Knight. So that was cool.
Yeah, well, they have stealth.
Bane Knight.
Well, with occultation, they have stealth.
I suppose they would.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I pulled it off.
I was also 3 inches away.
It was a fun weekend.
They still would have stealth. It just wouldn't matter.
It would not have mattered.
Edeni's really good against Saren.
Yeah. I love Edeni.
Against Saren, you said?
Yeah.
Specifically?
So the counter feat. It's a problem for Saren.
The counter feat is a problem.
And Saren will almost always counter feet first.
She has to.
Yeah, she has
especially
to.
If you have Satixis. You set up a bunch of Satixis charges. And you're
I don't take Satixis mainly because it's also my anti-Gatsby list. And if I have living models, I don't want to give
that
up the...
defeats the purpose.
Yeah. So it's an anti...
Specialist, you can flip them in.
Yeah, I would love specialists, and I would definitely have that in my specialist list for sure. For sure. That was tournament recap. Boom. And War Machine Talk is done for the day. I apologize.
Thank Christ.
So are we approaching Keith's Corner now? Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Keith's Corner. Woohoo! Keith's
it's still
Corner.
A KK, so we're good
Keith,
to go.
Keith, he's a sexy girl with the corner. Hey!
Frazzle Dazzle. So, Keith, what do you want to talk about this week in your corner?
What grinds your gears?
Yeah, what grinds your gears? Anything, Keith.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Either is Katie.
You think any of us are prepared for anything?
Tell us, what do you really think about Crump and John?
Right now, I'm going through Wargroom to prove that the plural of Argus is Arguses.
No, because I actually checked the circle book because I was telling somebody it would be Argi just because of how you pluralize things like that. And he's like, no, it's Argus. I'm like, shut up, that's dumb. And then I went in the book said, there are many, many Argus. And I was like, what? Fuck you.
It is, in fact, Arguses.
According to
using War Room for grammar?
According to War Room.
No, according to Grail's Theme Force.
According to the fluff entry in the Arguses That was improvisation. That was a possible yes. Section of the
Fluff Ain't Rules.
Fluff Ain't Rules.
Primary paint.
Primer ain't paint.
If the rules say it's Argus's, it's Argus's.
Okay. So it's still not our guy.
Hold on.
Keith was wrong.
Checking.
Everyone at home, hold on to your butts.
Grail's battle group includes three or more Arguses.
That's fine. I'm just saying the circle book says Argus and uses
so
it as a plural.
It also says Arguses.
Because
Grail's theme force is in the circle book.
Yep.
No. The fluff section. Yeah. I'm just saying that
privateers pluralized it two ways, both of which should be wrong.
There you go.
Pretty hilarious.
Cador.
Sorry.
Cadori. That's the plural.
Cador. The whole, Cador.
Dice. You didn't even say it wrong right.
I know.
You can say it wrong many ways. Cador.
It's Cador up into UPA.
God, I can't wait till I'm not a press ganger so that I can post my Calvary unit on the message boards.
Hey, all you have to do is post it and you won't be a press ganger anymore.
That is true.
You can always do things on your last day. You can do anything you want on your last day.
Hey guys, look at my Calvary solo. And people will click on the link so excited to correct me and it'll just be crosses on hills. It'll be hilarious.
Are you not going to be a press ganger?
You know what,
No.
I'm not planning on it, but if I ever do get fired.
You're not a press ganger.
I'm a judge.
You're a judge.
Yeah.
So you've already... Do they take away your PG-ness for that?
I think I'm still PG. I think maybe my name doesn't have PG anymore. I don't know. It's blue.
No, it's just
I'm looking into getting my name changed, but
it
hasn't happened yet. Because the person I told to change it thought I was joking.
Yeah.
What are you changing it to?
No, we can't say.
It's a secret.
Yeah, we actually can't say because somebody will probably take it.
Yeah, also
yeah, we know your tricks, Keith.
Yes,
we know how you
Keith
guys.
Keith
like
has never stolen an idea.
No,
in his life.
No, never.
What shocks me is how
I have
they steal
so
ideas
many
on our
good ideas
when none of them listen to it.
Like putting clouds around large bases.
I was so pissed, especially like I knew that none of those assholes listened to our podcast because it's not like we listen to theirs. It's awful. But so I called Keith one day. Keith's not denied. It's true. Our listeners have bad taste. Seriously. But, I called Keith and I'm like, Keath, you have to listen to our next podcast. The April one.
Yep.
I'm like, Keith, you have to listen to our next podcast. Please promise me. And he promised me. And then, like, a month later, he's like, oh, no, I haven't listened to it. Maybe I'll listen eventually.
A month later, I was like, I had listened to it that evening.
Yeah.
So one thing about Keith and stealing things, when he was, learning... This has been bothering me for 44 years. Even before I knew him, before I was born. No, he saw Mark II starting, and Keith is going. He's rocking Iskar and trying. Iskar's.
Oh, here comes the E-Gaspy rant.
So I'm playing. I said I'm going
to
play. E-Gaspy.
I'd like to apologize to our listeners for Bryant.
Yeah. I was going to say this has been brewing for three.
So
years
I'm playing
now.
P-Gaspy. I'm about to play E-Gaspy. I actually my first game with E-Gaspy is against Keith Iskar. And I think it's safe to say that I pretty much tabled your Iskar because you had no idea what that E-Gaspy did.
Right.
And the twinkle in your eye after seeing what E-Gaspy did should have warned me because you're like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in the world. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play this all the time now. And then Keith's like, I got to play too. And everyone knows, like, I have a problem.
In my own fairness, in fairness to me, I did not know that at the time.
if there's like two local players, if I'm playing at Crix as well as players, I don't want to play the same casters. And because I want people to kind of get more of a diversity. So Keith started to play Gaspy. I'm like, well, maybe he'll stop in a few weeks.
Yeah.
I'm like, he'll play Gaspy for a couple weeks.
Three
years later, I'm like, I can't play Gaspy. You broke Gaspy for me because you just like ran with it. I'm like, well, I was going to do that.
It was really sad because all throughout Mark 1, Gaspy 2 was his favorite caster.
P-Scar.
I mean, I loved you, Gaspy, but I played more P-Scar.
I would sit at a tournament and watch Brian's game, and I'd be like, yep, that guy just died to a scar bomb. Like,
yeah.
You would just walk up at some point in the game and be like, oh, that guy's got 12 minutes to live, and 11 minutes are going to be on his clock. it was pretty funny.
Yeah. But I did play him, and I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to go, because I was going to do only the Lich Lord. I'll start with Gaspy for maybe six months, and I'll switch over to maybe Terminus.
Well, now
or
you can play him.
Yeah, I just can't. You broke him. You
ruined Gaspy for everyone.
I ruined
you. Yes.
That is,
That is
but the world, but I'm just saying, I was the one that crushed him with Egaspy first, and I had a twinkle in his eye when he saw what Egaspy do. I was like, oh, we're all in trouble.
Is it the same twinkle he had in his eye when Emorvana was spoiled?
It probably was. Yeah. But then, because, yeah, I remember we tested a game with me playing Iskar and you playing Lich, and then I was like, this Lich thing. And then we tested again with you playing Iskar and me playing E-Lich, and we're like, yep, she cannot beat him.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, we were like, yep, that's accurate.
This is a dreadful matchup. And I was like, well, Iskar, off to the side.
And I'm done with you forever. Yeah.
And then a few months later, you were still playing. And I was like, I don't think he's going to stop. When's it my turn?
It can be both our turns, Brian.
If I was normal, it would have worked that way.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm with Brian. I would try to avoid playing the same as somebody else because I don't want people to get preparation matches against me.
And I also have to take partial. You're obviously a good player. You've built your skills. Obviously Madison was pretty competitive for a while. He still come and go, but I mean, we all got our skills honed here. But it's kind of my fault. I'm like, I should start going to conventions. Who wants to go to conventions? He's like, well, I'll try that. What the hell? Maybe it's fun. So
this Daikon thing.
If I had never gone to a convention, I don't know if we would have ever broken out if one of us went in and said, let's just drive somewhere crazy because that was our exposure to the whole world. I'm like, this is amazingly fun. We had so much fun at that Daikon.
No, I needed your car.
Yeah. So basically, not only gave you the Egaspy, concept, and you're like, conventions, we got hooked on them.
Yeah.
So it's really everyone has got crushed by Keith. It's, a little bit my fault.
A little bit your fault. A little bit Jim's fault.
Jim's fault. Yeah.
So the next time we walk into a con, you guys are just going to get kicked in the balls out of nowhere.
Why did you even keep him at home? How dare you take him out of the house?
I remember that Gen Con we were talking about together when you had to wake up in the middle of the night to get to a Midnight Madness event because there's the last qualifier for the Masters the next day.
Yeah. Dark times.
Hey, that's the one where you got flansered.
Yes.
That's the origin of it.
Original.
The infamous flansering.
And then I also developed in that tournament my hatred for any scenario where the number of lists is the same as the number of rounds.
Ugh.
Or any situation where you're guaranteed to be locked at the end, because I was forced to play Morton Ebra. I was playing Morton Ebra against an Epic Scar list where the only living model was Epic Scar herself.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
I got nut stomped.
Yeah. Good times for you.
I don't mind X and 1 list. I'm still fine with X and 1. I mean, you still have a risk of it being trapped, but I mean, overall, you probably can avoid it. And
each list once is fine.
Yeah. Play each list once.
And if it's up to, six or more rounds, play each list twice is probably even fine.
I agree.
Except six rounds is miserable.
Six rounds sucks, but I mean, you can't.
If you're in the winning bracket, the last couple rounds is pretty exciting. So you don't care.
That's true.
It's amazing how different you are. Round five, when you're 5-0, you're okay. I mean, you might be tired, but you're like, woohoo. I'm doing good.
I was feeling that way right up until round five.
Hey, until we started the game, you were doing fine.
We're still talking about War Machine.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to get that off the chest.
To be fair, this is your fault because it just keeps
cornering. Honestly, 50 minutes of just War Machine talk.
I'll side note a random
And then a small rant about Star Trek.
Yes.
Who would have ranted about
Star Trek? Speaking of
Star Trek,
here's something else that annoys me.
I don't know if I'm excited to see Pacific Rim. I don't know if I want you to see that movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I'm excited. Guillermo del Toro does good stuff. There's only one.
The new me?
There's only one Guillermo del Toro. That is awesome. I'm so excited.
No, Brian, what you do is you invite him 3 minutes before it starts.
Hey.
There's only one Guillermo del Toro movie that I didn't absolutely love.
Which was?
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. I thought thing was utter crap.
Me and Brian had just a weird day when we went to see that one. What was it? Pan's Labyrinth?
Labyrinth is amazing.
Went and saw that, and it was weird. You have to admit it was weird.
It is weird.
And then we went out to eat afterwards at the weirdest restaurant of all time.
It was a new Italian restaurant. We'll try it out. It was just bizarre.
You get the menus, and they don't have – they have everything in decimal format. So, you're looking at it –
so weird.
You'll look at something that's $15.90. They had it at 15.9.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on? I've so we're that. Like, okay, well, you got these nachos, and you're hyping them up, so we'll order them. They come out. They're on fucking kettle chips. Nachos on kettle chips. It was just the whole thing was after Pan's Labyrinth. It was just unredeemably
weird. And everything you got was just a weird. It was a bizarre version of the food.
Yeah,
it was Twin Peaks Italian restaurant.
I think we were.
Why was there nachos? Did you misspeak when you said Italian?
I don't think it was Italian.
It was just
what
weird.
They did have was the best coffee in the fucking universe.
Twin Peaks is also famous for good coffee.
I think we were going to.
The place went out of business within 6 months. Yeah. Well, it's gone. It.
And we were going to do something after.
Much like Twin Peaks.
Let's just go home. This is too weird.
Yeah,
we almost tried to talk it up as amazing and lure other people into it just to make sure it was as weird as we thought it was, because we did just watch Pan's Labyrinth. So, I mean, it was just a bizarre day.
I'm going to tell the anecdote about when I fell in love with Gad Skunkweiler.
It's Gad Schonweiler.
Gad Schongweiner.
I think we had Skunkweiler while we were desk golfing.
I just drank Skunkweiner. So Keith got flansered. I love you, Flanser. He's a great guy, but whatever. Flansing a verb now. So Keith got flansered that one time, and then we were at the first Mayhem Cup, and it was Keith and Gad in the finals.
Yes.
And it was playing, Gad was playing Trolls, it was, I think, Epic Bad Drag or something. Keith's playing Gaspy. So whatever, Shocking. Stuff's going around and everything, and then the Death Jack moves up to attack. Was it his caster or Mulg? I forget which, but the Death Jack moves, advances an inch or two.
It was a Tartarus.
Whatever. The point is, he
Tartarus makes a charge against.
No. It wasn't Tartarus because it was something without reach. I think it was. Yeah, it was something without reach.
It was an on-reach model.
Okay. Maybe it was double axis. I don't know. But the point is that it goes and you go to roll to attack, and Gad's like, hold on a second, and he slides the melee gauge in between and proves that you were out of melee range. It was the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. I wish I was gay so I could gay marry Gad.
Wish granted.
Yay! Gad, will you marry me?
If we're talking about Flanser stories, I had somebody that was rules lawyering me really bad in a game, and I totally got him with one. I Flansered him.
Nice.
He walked up, and he's like, I attacked the guy. I put the reach marker down. I was like, no, you don't.
I think it's... But if someone's a dickhole, it's okay. Like,
one guy from Chicago used to always call it counter dick.
Yeah, counter dick. And that's the thing. I think people in Madison, we're pretty friendly, and Iowa pretty friendly, but if you want to raise the level of being a dick... Don't do it against us, because you're not going to out-dick us. You got us in that one move, but now you got half an hour of complete... You're going to just fucking break.
Yeah, your next hour of your game is just going to be the most god-awful experience your whole life.
John calls it capturing his full attention. And it's not good news. It is bad news.
I played three games last War Machine weekend, because I was just goofing around with the Focus Fury guys all weekend playing board games. And I'm playing a game. I'm like, you know what? I'm just letting him kill me. I'll get out. And he started acting cocky. He made some weird comment to me. I just looked at him like, okay, I'll try. And I was down control points. Half my armor was gone. I'm like, no, I'm going to try. And then I just fucking rolled over and crushed him. I'm like, you could have advanced in this qualifier, but you fucked
the best part. The best part was then Brian dropped.
Yeah, I'm out. I don't care.
The classic Brian Gazy. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to beat you and then tank your strength schedule.
I'm going to ruin your day every way I can.
I have not played in the Mayhem Cup, lost round one against a really good person from another meta, and then tanked all my games just to ruin a strength of schedule. I would never do that. Never would I screw over people with strength of schedule in a team event. I'm above that.
What? Wait, I think you're not truthful talking. I like the Mayhem Cup where your opponent didn't show up, so your models just all had a tea party.
Yeah,
I'm sitting next to Brian, and I look over, and he's got like more Morgul and a Bronzeback like on a hill, and Brian's like making them talk to each other. And I'm like, hello, Mr. Bronzeback. Hello, Morgul. Would you like some more tea? I should love some tea. And he's making them walk around the table and singing songs.
I had an hour to kill.
Yeah. Were you high?
It was day two of Mayhem Cup. It was like 8 in the morning. I was just trying to
his first round opponent just didn't show up, and yeah, had an hour to kill.
Brian's kind of like that, to be honest.
Which Mayhem Cup was this?
It was the first
Brian,
one.
Brian's like that in general. Like, I once heard about him taking somebody's model and putting it fully inside
a
Twinkie.
I will never forget the Twinkie incident, ever. I've been playing this game like 2 weeks. I own a caster and like 20 models, and I roll into Misty to play a game, and I play Brian. As we're playing, the owner of the store walks by with God only knows why, like 3 Twinkies. And he puts one down on each table. He's like, here, I had Twinkies for the winner at each table.
I miss Twinkies.
So he puts a Twinkie down on our table. Yes, there is a picture of it. You should put that on the Twitter feed.
Yeah, I'm doing it right
okay.
now.
2 weeks into his play experience. He doesn't know how much assholes we are yet.
I don't know how to do anything in the game.
He's getting stomped by everyone.
I'm getting stomped by everybody. I'm playing against Brian. He's playing, I think he was goddamn playing Crix at the time.
I have no idea. Probably.
So I'm playing Ossian with a terrible list. I don't know what I'm doing. He destroys, I think, every... That was the game... It was the same game where you killed 30 models in a turn, and you counted them.
Oh, yeah, I did count them.
It was like, he calls everybody over, like, all the players that he knows. He's like, all right, guys, look.
He had them, like, grouped in batches of 10.
He's like, look at the table. And they're all like, oh, this is going to be bad. He's like, no, wait. How many do you think I can kill? I think the high guess was like 22 from Nathan. And he's like, I can beat that. And so he starts stacking them in ranks of 5, and he got, like, 26. And I'm just like, sitting there, nothing I can do about it. I'm just like, okay, so that happened in
one turn.
Welcome
new players to the Madison meta.
Yeah. So then he finishes up, and I was like,
I was going to say, it's much better than what we do to people who leave our meta.
Who leave the meta, yes.
Keith had to leave.
The goodbye.
Keith had to leave, like...
Stealthy.
Just stealthy, so he didn't get the beating.
So he didn't get the Matt Rassett goodbye.
So the game ends. Guy. Brian opens a Twinkie. He's like, I don't really want a Twinkie. He reaches across the table. He takes Osian, shoves him all the way into the Twinkie, hands me the Twinkie, and says, here, and then walks away. I was like, oh, my God, I want to kill that asshole so bad.
That is what you call press ganger attitude.
Bill's character.
I remember watching that one guy leave Madison. It was probably my second week ever playing the game. And it was Matt leaving, and I remember he got feeded on by Sorsha and P. Makeda one turn.
We told him we're playing a four-player game, but he didn't know it was really a three-on-one game.
Well, it was the two-on-one with Nathan spectating.
I was an innocent bystander. I thought it was a four-player game, and then I was not involved. Like, I just sat in the corner, and everybody
Your burrow marker did move slowly towards them.
It's true.
But yeah, he got feeded on by P. Sorsha and while fighting Scorn and P. Makeda. And then the next turn, the Jim comes up and feats on him with Bart, and then Brian feats with Zal. And I just like this whole Legion army just evaporated.
Yeah, it was four players with two casters each. It would have been glorious if it was what I thought it was. It was glorious in a different way, which was goodbye, Matt. Go fuck yourself.
I remember when I moved down to Iowa, I got wrapped in trying my best to avoid this situation. I get wrapped into a game of diplomacy. The day I move, orders go in. All of a sudden, France loses half its holdings.
Goodbye.
And then I still at least manage to fuck over Radio Fan.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, I survived till the end. I had one army in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I'm going to hold out forever unless we call this a three-way draw. And they're like, all right, fine.
Hooray.
But yeah, it was right because Marshall was doing good. And like, oh, he's moving. Let's change our strategy just a little bit.
Yeah,
Marshall gets eliminated, then we go back to what we were doing.
Yes,
thankfully the two men off John had my back at least, so my death was not instantaneous.
No,
it kind of creeped in behind you.
It was grueling and extended.
Yeah, our man off John is a really, really nice guy, but nobody's perfect.
But yeah, so that was like one of my first experiences with these dickholes in Madison.
And you stayed around.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have bad decisions.
It was a hazing.
Hey, our new players, if they can survive the couple of weeks, they usually get some pretty decent skill. I mean,
and,
you know.
And not in my case, but yeah, usually.
No. Oh, my God. I love it. It said something about, like, the litmus test of Madison at the time. I mean, we're still okay, but, like, oh, I am blanking on his name. It was your guys' friend who went to California.
John Newmiller.
Yeah. He... Well, like,
no, it wasn't him.
It wasn't John.
It was the hippie guy. I don't know.
No.
He played Menoth for like a couple of weeks here, and he didn't know how to do anything at all. And he moved to California, and he was just D-rolling.
Colin. So Colin just lost every single game he ever had in Madison.
Like, Signar.
It was Protectorate, because I remember something about the second half of the story. Like, he got annihilated all the time. Like, good-natured guy, but he just was three letter grades below everybody in Madison. And so he just lost every game. And then he moved to California and was an unstoppable golden god. Like, the best part is, like, they told him, like, no, you can't use ancillary attack on that model because they're already shot and rate of fires for your whole turn. Like, they were even lying to try and nerf him, and he was still crushing them all just because a C-minus in Madison was an A-plus anywhere else at the time. It was beautiful. We suck.
Yeah, there's a good meta that cropped up in California. Must be in a different spot. But that's where, like...
That's fair.
Or just... 2 years later, I guess.
I mean, Chicago,
maybe Colin grew it.
Chicago got better in a couple
but
years.
But, like, that's where Craig Conroy and Brandon, who I played in the final round of Iron Gauntlet, are from.
California is an immense place.
Arizona.
There's going to be some good players.
I thought Brandon was from Arizona. No, the guy that won Masters was from Arizona. The other guy was from...
Winner of Masters, Ryan C. something or other.
Right.
Is from Arizona.
Yeah.
And we're still talking about War Machine.
Well, sort of. Well, like, sort of a ridiculous thing is like the
War Machine assholes
shoving models and Twinkies and crushing new players. I forgot, Jordan. I forgot what I did to you in your first game. I forgot it was something. You probably remember the scars.
It was again against Brian. It was a mangled metal. Yeah, Cater fucking sucks in mangled metal. And
are better than Rhett.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I remember losing my entire army except for Butcher to P. Gorshade in Mangled Metal, thanks to Brian. So that was super fun.
Sp- speaking of mangled metal, did we tell the story about how retarded Jeremy is at Adepticon?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we Jeremy's an idiot, and I just wanted to...
That was amazing.
Okay, that's good time.
My favorite moment of scoring... It was at Adepticon.
I hadn't had much sleep that weekend, and I had had a lot of alcohol.
Jeremy excuses. Come on.
Jeremy comes up to report a mangled metal. I'm on two mics now. Jeremy comes up to report a mangled metal game, and he's like, oh, I lost. Like, I got him down to just his caster, but I couldn't finish him off.
I once drew mangled metal finals because of that rule. I killed Vale, and her Talion transfer killed my last beast, and we drew it.
And Hark won.
Yeah, it was in the finals. So we're like, Brian, he just lost his caster. I just lost my last beast. Who wins? Brian's like, it's a good thing you're both my roommates.
Yeah.
Here's third and all the other prizes. He didn't announce first or second until the next day.
We're going to delay this for a minute. I'm going to do some research. I'm like, you know, it's roommates, so we don't need to know right now. And I remember it was
We actually drew the finals, and I got second on strength of schedule. It was pretty funny.
It was one of the most
important. Yeah.
It was
zero awesome. Undefeated players.
Yep.
It's hardcore. No one would actually get the prize in.
Really?
Because the prize is for being the only undefeated player.
They've had hardcores where no one won. They've actually had draws and then no one won the hardcore event. It happens.
That would be infuriating.
It happens less now.
But according to many, this was a much stronger format than the hardcore they use now. No one winning at all is certainly much more satisfying than playing the games the way it is now.
Yep. Run away, cost your opponent the victory. That's
the people who are all gung ho about ancient hardcore are. That's definitely the rose colored goggles.
Thanks for bringing controversy to the podcast, because we always stay out of controversy.
We really try to stay above that sort of thing on this podcast.
Yes. We haven't had Nathan sell the country today. It's pretty impressive.
True.
We're
close.
High class.
No, we pretty much almost insulted an entire generation of
I'm
people.
I'm okay with that.
Who do we assault? How about comparing
I did.
The drinking
RC-10?
Of RC-10 to concentration camps?
I did not say concentration camp. I said POW camp.
No.
I said POW camp.
We said the flavor of a rim job in a can.
Then I said POW. And then I said you guys all looked like you were in a POW camp.
Hogan's Heroes was hilarious. They wouldn't make a tasteless comedy show based on horrific tragedies, would they?
I shouldn't suspect so.
Yeah.
Hitler in springtime.
Oh my God! Really?
Yeah,
you just went there.
They're
Holy
that
cow.
Bad. Number one at singing, and you get the lyrics wrong. You're awful. God, I hate you, Jeremy.
Speaking of horrifically offensive things, I saw the Book of Mormon.
Yeah,
that was really good.
I love that the villain in that is 100% based on a real guy.
Somebody who wanted to
that name too, like Buck Fucking Naked, was the name of the warlord who then converted to Christianity. Like that's 100% a thing that happened in Africa.
Huh.
Yeah, they didn't make that up.
Africa's a screwed up place. I haven't seen it, heard of the premise, but I can assure you Africa's a screwed up place.
Fuck you, Africa.
Whoa.
Way to insult a country.
Whoa.
Africa's a big country.
Whoa.
Let's edit that out.
Africa's a huge country.
Yeah. Jeremy, do you know where Africa is?
Get a map.
It won't help.
You only have to point out North Africa.
By the way, if you ever play Civilization and you play with the Earth map, man, do you want to start in Africa, because you just conquer that fucking thing,
so good.
And you put one city at the Suez Canal,
it's
and you
so
win. You
well,
win
in,
so
in
hard.
In Civ 5, you have to put one at the Suez Canal, and then one, there's a connection on the other side, like where Gibraltar would be.
Oh, okay, fine.
There is.
Whatever.
But yeah, then
point
you just
is,
win. Then, you,
then
win.
You just build railroads all in Africa, and like all your things can reinforce those front two and eventually just steamroll through.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Is that the computer game or the board
game?
Yeah,
the computer game. The board game's awful.
Oh, I don't know.
I tried multiple board games. Like
there are two. There was one from like there was one that is more than a decade old that's utter shit, and then there's one from a couple years ago that's mediocre.
Isn't it one of those games that takes an eternal ages to play?
It's not ages. It might be like two or 3 hours, but it's not one of those like 8 hour games like Twilight Imperium.
Twilight Imperium.
No, there is a game from the '70s. There's a game from '70s called Civilization that has nothing to do with the PC game that takes like 14 hours to play and is amazing. It's one of the two 14 hour games I'm willing to play. But anyway, something grinds your gears.
Twilight Imperium. It's the worst game ever.
It's
oh boy.
Oh shit.
Everyone. Oh boy. Everyone. Duck.
God.
It's like you play a little draft game to determine. You play a little draft game like 8 times to determine who wins. In between every one of those little drafts, you're forced to play a goddamn game of Monopoly that has no bearing on anything. That's Twilight fucking Imperium. Kill me.
I really wish I weren't sitting between you two right now.
Wrong number.
Neutral comment.
I love Twilight Imperium. It's one of my favorite games ever, and I will never play it again in my life. Because there are the things I like about it, I can get in other games that don't take 12 fucking hours.
That three That's point thing you just said, I agree with one of those.
I've never played
the only problem
again
I have
in my
with
life.
It is it takes way too long to play.
You know
it.
What?
That's about it.
You guys want a shorter game that's kind of fun? Let's play Android.
There we go.
What?
Mansions of Madness.
Android is far, far worse than Twilight Imperium.
You'd rather play that.
There
out.
Is
yeah.
such a thing.
It only takes four hours.
Imagine you're
hours.
Playing Clue,
okay.
but instead of figuring out who's in the envelope,
uh-huh.
you're trying to frame somebody into that envelope.
Which is
that
cool.
sounds
That's
pretty cool.
cool.
So far, so good.
Okay.
Sounds legit.
Now, there's a puzzle on the right side of the board.
A literal jigsaw puzzle.
Which a jigsaw
kind of like
puzzle.
It's supposed to be like you're hackers and you're trying to break a network, so it has this jigsaw thing. Because hackers like jigsaws.
Much the same thing, yeah.
So I played it, and for an hour and a half, I played the premise of the game, and I framed the people. I had one person I wanted to frame as guilty, and one person I wanted to frame as innocent, or, you know, prove was innocent.
Yeah.
I got them both.
No, one thing. Also, imagine a game that has like three cool game mechanics.
You know, but I use the three cool game mechanics, but there's like 30 mechanics.
Yeah, and then
there's so much going on. It's
400
like,
more mechanics
what,
on top of that.
What does any of this garbage have to do with what I'm doing? I don't know. So I just play the game. You know, I frame these guys, and you get like 20 points for the big one and 5 points for the little one. And I did them both, so I get 25 points. Nobody else frames their main guy. Nobody else saves their innocent guy. I'm the only one that does it. I lose because somebody spent all the game putting the puzzle together in the right corner and won by like 10 points on me.
And yeah, it makes no sense.
Like, and it makes no sense, and there's all these, like, you spend, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours traveling around to locations, picking up tokens, and that's it. Basically, like, you've played Arkham Horror, right?
No.
Oh.
Ugh.
Arkham Horror is an awesome game, shut up. But
No, the noise I was making at the fact that he hadn't played Arkham Horror.
But I had not played it.
But Arkham Horror, you walk around collecting clues and you use the clues to do things.
Sure.
It's similar to that, only you never do anything else.
To be fair, Jim's actually not making it sound as worse as it really is.
You know, it's
actually
awful.
Also, while you're playing the game, someone's punching you in the groin.
Right.
It's sort of...
The whole thing was just hideous. I don't remember all the details, but I know that I framed the guy. I clearly looked like I won, and somebody put together a puzzle on the side and won instead.
It is to games what RC-10 is to refreshing beverages.
Yes.
Like, the whole time, you just wish it was done.
And is it also one of those games where people can tank on their turns for ages, so you just have to sit there?
Yeah. No, it's one of those games where you take subtle turns. It's mechanic-wise, like, I do action, you do an action, you move around the table kind of fast.
All right.
Like Eclipse or some of those other games.
Stop saying good things about it. It's shit.
No, there are elements that are fine, but there's like so much more that's worse. It has two or three good points and 150 bad points.
When a game
and that
has,
makes it worse.
When a game has a victory condition that abandons its premise, that's the problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
It wasn't the only problem. I was actually being pretty sugar-coaty there.
And I will admit,
the game was awful.
That I believe the time that I played Twilight Imperium, they were including a draft card that should not exist. Which is one that grants victory points.
No, that needs to exist.
Oh, then I hate this game.
Yeah, I mean, the flaw in the point is, one of the draft cards you can pick is I get to pick first next turn, and the other draft card you can pick is I get 2 victory points, which is huge. So the first two players, one picks, I go in first next turn, the next picks, I get 2 victory points, and then the other players pick other actions, and that's called the Imperial Crawl, is that. And that's just... When you play Twilight Imperium, that's how it works. Those two cards are going to shuffle to their left, and people are going to get victory points from it, and that's what drives the game towards actually ending. Because if that card didn't exist to give you victory points, the game would literally never end because people would shore up, and it would be World War One, and no one would ever make any headway or get victory points or end the game.
My other problem with
The problem. So here's the thing. No.
Carry on. That's
I
fine.
I'll let you finish.
I am going to let him finish. I'm going to point out something I think that summarizes the strengths/flaws. It really encapsulates. And after a long time of defending this game, / hating this game and understand that there's people that are both, it looks like a war game. It's a Cold War game. And yeah. So people expect to, like, ever attack, and you don't. You build up massive fleets that sit there, and eventually somebody wins on the Imperial Crawl.
Yeah. What happened that Chad described another point on why this game is atrocious at times is because if there are engagements,
yeah,
there will become a point in time when it is clear to someone that they can no longer win. It can be clear to someone that they can no longer win. And then in any situation where you're like, I can't win anymore, but I have to sit here for another 3 hours. I have to do
something. Three, maybe six.
Yeah. So I have to do something to entertain myself. I'm now creating a new objective in my head, which is F that guy.
Yep.
And if you're that guy, you also don't get to win because someone is just trying to screw you. And while someone's trying to screw you in that game, you can't win.
Yeah. I did mention I'm never going to play this game again, right? Like, I loved the thing is, I enjoy every once in a while playing a game that literally takes at least 16 hours. Like, I enjoy meeting with friends, saying we're going to meet at like 8 in the morning and we're going to play this game that takes from 12 to 16 hours. It's going to take all day and it's going to be great. And it can be, it used to be TI, used to be one of them, or it can be Diplomacy, or it can be, we can play Dune. Dune is more like an 8-hour game though. Like, it's on the light end of that. But like, there's day, I want to just meet with people and play an 8 to 12 hour game, and that's cool to me. And TI used to be one of them, but now it's not, because there's other games that have all the same things I like that aren't 12 hours long.
Dune can't be that long.
If people think too long, like, Dune should cap at 6. Dune is 4 to 6. If it goes the full length and people think too long, it can also be over in 30 minutes if Brian gets a lucky Harkonnen first turn win.
Or, you know, yeah, or you just choose the right turn.
Or Guild. You were Guild. Yeah. And you just went last and dropped in the thing, and nobody bothered to protect it. It's like, oh, Brian wins. Well, that's the learning game.
And then the next game, I'm like, I'll pick who wins. Yeah. Then, oh, look at that.
I can't believe, oh my god, that mechanic's supposed to be a goofy, fun little side thing, and yeah. Since breaking that game out of Madison, I've played like 6 games of Dune, and that mechanic has been the victory condition 5 of them.
Five Benny wins.
And
just
I've,
by picking it.
I've been sitting on another one that somebody screwed me out of that was my own teammate. I was throwing the game to the other team, and my teammate's like, wait, I can stop this. I was like,
that was me.
That doesn't count because that was Rex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Technically. But yeah. I stopped it.
I have a hard time investing a great deal of time in any board game that has the potential for a screw your neighbor mechanic.
Yeah.
Because I think it takes a certain personality type to be like, I'm going to enjoy this whether or not I get F'd in the A, and I'm not that personality.
To be fair, a lot of games, if you're willing to be as big a dick as some of us in Madison, any game can turn into that. Like, I really like Eclipse. But I've played games of Eclipse.
That's not even questionably a screw your neighbor game. It is.
Yeah, that's
it's
all
the same thing as Twilight Imperium. Yeah. It can be just like, but I can't win anymore. F that guy.
Eclipse is one of the reasons I will never play Twilight Imperium, because if I want a space battle, screw that guy tech building game, I can play Eclipse in 2 hours instead of 12.
I don't loathe Eclipse, but the same problems. The same problems occur.
Dune I like because even if you're, like, quote-unquote eliminated, you're just back in 3 turns because you'll have a stack of respawn troops that you can space drop.
Allies shift and stuff.
And allies shift. Like, there is no player elimination in Dune. And you can be wiped out and you'll just come back.
And in Dune, you don't really want to always screw your neighbor because you might be friends with that guy in a turn or two.
Right. And you don't always want to help your ally because you might not be friends in a turn or two.
Or they might screw you out of your bed.
Shorter the game, the less I care about that. If I'm playing a 12-hour game and some guy gets bored, wants to kill me, I don't like that. But if the game is if it's a core mechanic of the game, like the point of the game is to screw your
like Diplomacy.
And if it's short, if a game's an hour, I don't care what mechanic is. If it's fun in an hour, I'll play any mechanic.
I like trying to talk somebody into going and screwing somebody, and then backfilling that person I talked into doing it.
That never happened in games at all, ever.
That never happens every single time we play Game of Thrones.
What about a little pirate mini games where you like build pirates out of cards and you're friends with people? What happens in those ones?
Well, those aren't any kind of binding alliance, and you always have to watch out when you play the gayest, most annoying thing ever.
So one game out of years, if I make an alliance in a game, I believe in holding that alliance. Agreed. I've kept this for like 15, 20, I have like a 20-year thing.
So I'm only victim.
We're playing a little silly pirate game. Remove boards. Right? It's not even. It's a funny game.
It's like you pop out ships.
Yeah,
Pirates of the Spanish.
And I didn't get any like big mean ships like everyone else had. But what I did get was a French captain that could make stuff move multiple times.
Okay.
So I'd have this little ship and it'd just dart around because it was small. It was fast.
You play like a 4x4 man. You play the same size as a war machine, but you literally had like the ships flying around the table.
It was a French fleet with a French captain, and I would just like. Run away. Nobody could ever catch me. It was the most annoying thing in the whole world.
And one of our friends, Sean, had this like ship that was just the ultimate ship. It was very broken. It broke the game.
Yeah, it was me and Jim unkillable piece of crap. Yeah.
I'm like, Jim, let's go get him. So me and Jim are teaming up, and we're going to go kill Sean. And Jim goes and turns his fleet to go get him. And I'm like, man, if I just rolled up next to Jim, I could blow all his shit up in one turn.
He turns his fleet directly in front of all of your guns.
Yeah, I put my broadside right
in front
to
of your head. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, if I just did that instead, it'd be funnier. And I'm like, I don't usually. So for the last 8 years, Jim has been out to get me.
Yep.
How dare you get me? I'm like, it was a one-time thing.
That was a great moment, and I think I was almost eliminated out of that game because I was going.
I'm pretty sure
Sean.
it was three of us versus Sean, and two of them fired on my poor French captain and sunk him. The guy was the most annoying.
If you
thing
kill
in
the
game,
French, it's a mini win.
Yeah, that captain was horrendous. Besides Sean's fleet, this destroying the game for us. You're captain.
What was this
no
game
fun.
Called?
It's Pirates of the Spanish Main.
It was cool because it came
oh,
in,
I did play
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really like fun right up until the double wound math.
While moving
out.
Into my apartment a week ago, the first time, I had to move into my apartment three times this last week, which was a blast. But I found like a box full of those, and maybe I could have eBayed them, but instead I just threw them all out.
Yeah, I threw mine out recently.
But yeah.
I'm pretty sure mine went in the garbage as well. Mm.
But yeah.
But you bought a Blizzard pack like Magic Cards. It was just random ships. It was like all exciting.
Yeah, it was cool because you popped them out and literally assembled them into minis. It was just
the
neatest thing.
The first release of it was really actually a lot of fun. I mean, my French captain was really annoying, but I always put him in the dinkiest, crappiest ship, so it wasn't a big deal.
I guess the mechanic, I think the mechanic was that you sacrifice a member of your crew to move further.
I think it might have been.
I think it was, yeah.
And I just load them down with idiots and I just throw them overboard.
Like oarsmen and stuff like that.
You're getting out of here.
Yeah.
But it was sweet. Yeah, he would just dart. Anytime he would have been in trouble, I would just throw somebody overboard and we'd dart away.
We're going to have like three listeners. I love that game too.
But yeah, so that's my point about board games is I prefer, if it's going to be a long game, I like it to be cooperative. If it's going to be a game where someone can have a negative experience, I'd much rather it be shorter.
I agree with that entirely. That's one of the reasons why I don't play a lot of the like Axis and Allies in that. I nothing annoys me more than sitting there waiting for five other people to finish their turn before I can even move.
We're really big into games like Waterdeep because Waterdeep will take an hour to hour and a half at the extreme. Yeah. And there are things you can do to other players, but they're all kind of minor. And you only really do it to someone who's in the lead. You're not really screwing anyone else. And then if the game's still
unless you're
over,
Brian, and then sometimes you just pick somebody to screw the whole game.
Well, Katie won like three games in a row. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just – she's not winning this game. But it's still – I play two cards on her the whole game, but – it's like it's still fast. It's still a fun game. You can't limit anyone. You can just slow them down for a minute.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, that's a worker placement victory point game. Which and there are lots of that type. And it's competitive insofar as like there are nodes that are more valuable and you take them away from somebody and they're like, oh, curse you. But it's not like ruining their whole day.
Correct.
If you really wanted to, you could ruin somebody's day. You could see that all their quests require black cubes, and you could just keep placing
them
black.
Whoa.
He meant thieves.
I meant thieves.
They are thieves. Black are thieves.
You could steal all their thieves from them.
Uh-huh.
And that'd prevent them from completing any of the quests they have. They'd be forced to shift gears completely. And if they have all things that need thieves, they're probably got a Skullduggery.
And if,
they,
and if they're in the lead, maybe you want to do that anyway. It's like, wait a minute, that guy is just...
But you could really, I mean, you could pay attention and you could dick some people pretty hard.
You can. But there's so late game, there's so many things in the table.
Yeah.
It gets harder and harder.
You almost have to do that. Right. You almost have to do it early because late game, there's going to be too many options.
Mm. It would be more difficult, and the game is short enough that it doesn't matter too much.
Yeah. That's true.
We finished
and you're
games
absolutely
in one
throwing
hour.
Your whole game away right at the beginning.
After this, we should all go to my place and play Dune.
I wish I had Junta. I have Junta coming to the mail. Like, 7-player Junta is the greatest thing in the world.
I gotta go home and watch.
Oh yeah,
I
have Sean take that with him.
Yeah, but it's literally sitting at work on my desk.
The only problem with Junta is it's very variable on the time. It can take an hour and a half, or you can call Koo every turn.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. It's an hour and a half to 3 hours. But Koo's can be fun for the first hour and a half.
I remember having fun at that game.
That game was so much fun.
We do have to schedule.
That's a good point. Like that's the thing. I try to make sure I only play games that have some built-in end mechanic.
It does too, but the coups are slow down.
Yeah,
but the coups
are so volatile.
It's like seven turns.
Yeah. Hey, people should just listen to the Presidente. El Presidente is always right.
Brian is always the president's helper in that game. If you're the president, Brian's your right-hand man.
I've never betrayed the president, and that's my strategy. If the president can play really well, he'll win, but if I can play better, I'll win, I'll be loyal.
Are you one of those kids that, like didn't dream of being a supervillain or a superhero? You dreamed of being a crony or a sidekick?
Being
like,
the guy,
oh, I can't wait to be second.
I still played to win the game. I just didn't you can be in charge. Sure you are, and I'll be the guy over here just like...
Well,
you
know. he makes really good friends with the president, and then he talks him into being the assassin every round.
And I never... And I'm like, if I'm...
Oh, the fucking assassin. Wait, are we talking about Citadels now?
Citadels.
I know
you're
many
getting
people
randomly
table,
run over in something.
Keith always randomly runs me over in Citadels.
Yeah, but we were playing another game, and you were just getting just
and I was
blasted.
Going to be in Keith. But yeah, there was... For those of you who have played Citadels out in there, I always would get randomly hit by Keith when he was the assassin. He would just pick... Nothing strategically valuable.
Oh, it was that card game, that trick-taking game. Yeah. You're getting freaking ran over by the assassin.
That used to happen in Citadels,
but,
too. When we played at Denny's, too.
Yeah, it was Teachu we were playing, and I was just getting screwed by the Wish. But an anecdote many of the people here have heard, but people listening, if you ever played Citadels, and if you haven't played Citadels, I'm not going to explain the anecdote, but for those who have heard Citadels, I was playing a game of Citadels at Gen Con like a decade ago, and there was another person at that table named Nate, and we played that game, and literally every single turn, not a single turn was this not true, a Nate got assassinated. Every fucking turn.
How was the split?
Oh, we were both too demoralized to count. There was one time when somebody was like, I don't know, assassinate the architect. And the other Nate just goes, oh, and melted under the table. He just leaned back and slid under the table. And he was like 6'8", so it was a very impressive just collapse slide under the table. Nice. Oh, fucking man. Painful.
Did you guys win?
No. No, we did not.
Turns out getting assassinated maybe twice is the threshold where you're no longer winning. If you got hit
if you
four
get hit
out
more
eight
than
turns
twice,
or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, and it was like a 7-player game, so it was like 10 out of 20 turns. Like,
Good times.
We're getting kind of. I know Keith's on here, but I think we're going to risk our time. Our leg time.
It's like, no, we're doing pretty good.
We're doing 24 right
we
now.
We got a lightning round and recommendations? Or
I
actually, lightning
I actually
round
don't have
time.
A lightning round.
So it's
time.
Just recommendation
time.
There,
actually, I double checked that we had no responses.
Yeah, I checked a couple days ago.
Everyone loved their lightning round so much. I said, like, if we. They loved it so much, words are hard
for
Brian.
P.S. If you want more Zappity Grumble. We need emails and tweets.
But they stopped.
Also,
I need
more
like
yoga pants pictures.
No.
They keep
no,
telling me about
good.
Yoga pants pictures.
None of the yoga pants pictures
stop
were things that I ever wanted to see.
Stop sending people of Walmart reposts.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds horrifying.
Oh my God.
People of Walmart.com,
I
it's
think
just
I know
photographs
my recommendation
people take at Walmart.
Week.
Nope. Not going there.
Great.
Oh
nope.
My God, I have
nope.
My recommendation
nope.
For the week.
But
my recommendation is related to retail as well.
If somebody makes yoga pants that fit on one of their miniatures and sends a picture of that, and I'll give them a prize of some kind. Oh, there's the people
that's
of Walmart.
That's one of them.
Oh,
that's no moon. Why was my Obi-Wan Kenobi Australian just
I
now?
Do not know.
Crikey, mate, that's no moon.
Oh, it's getting worse.
One day,
Dingo ate my baby.
Me and Nate worked together for 2 months, and one day he came up to me, and I was like, oh, crap, I was using my box cutter. I was like, this isn't doing it for me. He's like, this is not enough. And like, I was like, why is Nate talking to me in that voice? He sounds like such an idiot. Like, two hours later, I walked up to him. I was like, was that supposed to be Crocodile Dundee? 2 hours to decipher his accent.
Hey, you haven't lived till you've heard my Christopher Walken.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not dropping it. No. I'm just telling you, you heard it.
False.
I'll save it.
Grumble.
I will tell Christopher Walken an anecdote, though. I won't do it in his voice. No, this anecdote's fucking amazing.
Right,
I'm stealing it.
Right.
It's Jay Moore's anecdote.
Go ahead.
So Jay Moore was on... He was
we've
in
all
Suicide
heard
Kid.
We've all heard it.
It's
not, everyone,
this.
If it's a Jay Moore, we've all heard it.
Okay, I'm done.
Wait. Afraid not.
Thanks, Glenn.
We just saved you 44 minutes.
I'll tell you later.
Yep. I added that story for you, so...
Yeah. I think you have gone into that anecdote on the podcast.
You have to have. You
no.
Have it every other day.
Yeah. It's my favorite anecdote.
I know.
It's funny.
We're all aware.
Yeah.
So
fuck you.
It's related to Star Trek, so obviously we've heard it every day.
If you
the
could
shields.
Be a Tribble.
So who else was like had their stopwatch out as soon as Cumberbatch revealed himself as Khan until someone yelled it?
Yeah.
It was like,
I actually said it before he revealed himself.
Yeah.
Recommendations.
Sweet. You gonna start it off then?
Nope.
We didn't have a... Oh, okay.
We had Keith's Corner.
Yeah, we did. I forgot. It was about Twilight Imperium.
Yep. It was, eventually.
Somebody said they liked when we talked about board games, and we sure did just talk
we
about board games.
That.
A little bit.
Things we hate. And we rambled
and good stuff.
Yeah.
Although I might never play Arkham Horror again, just because, again, co-op games, I might as well play Space Alert. Although Arkham's different enough.
Arkham is its own beast.
As long as you play, as long as you don't fall into the trap of a single player game with six other people doing what he tells
and
them to.
And I'm the one that always ruins Arkham Horror because I'm so excited to play it.
Yeah.
I'm actually, I've been watching eBay auctions. I'm going to try to buy the entire set on eBay if I can find a good sale.
There's a lot of co-op games I love as long as the group doesn't do that. They're so great as long as your group can agree to not have one person play it single player.
Yeah.
We played...
But it's so hard, because if you're the best player and you see the correct thing to do, and even if you're not, like, if we all know Jim's the best at Arkham Horror, we're all going to ask him what's the optimal thing to do, and eventually he's playing it single player. Like, you try to avoid that, but it happens.
Oh, you won't have to worry about that, because I'll be so excited to play. I'll gladly take all your turns for you.
Well, yeah, I know. I was saying hypothetically if you were to shit heal.
Brian,
yeah.
why throw a hypothetical that can never come true? Yeah,
right.
Pandemic has that exact same problem. It's a really
Every co-op game has that problem, except
really
Space Alert.
Well, no, but Pandemic is like specifically designed. Mm-hmm. Why don't you all tell the person who knows how to play this game exactly what's in your hand, and then let them tell you what to do?
The Lord of the Rings
Arkham isn't that really.
The Rider Canixia, the Lord of the Rings co-op game, is that by far. You might as well just play with open hands and say, okay, you play the game, and then I'll walk away.
Yeah. A lot of times in Arkham, you're actually more asking for help, kind of like in Space Alert. Like, God, I can't do anything to this creature. Because there's so much going on, and your character has so many stuff next to him, hopefully, that you can't tell who's good at what. The first time you see him in action, you're like, okay, you're really good at killing these physical immune things.
Yeah.
And then you might start playing for them by begging them to kill everything.
It's the time limit on Space Sword that makes it that you can't do that. Like, Arkham, like, that same day that I played these shitty Every Knight Was Assassinated Citadels, I then played, like, an eight-player game of Arkham Horror with every expansion. And so it was like, it was awful. Speaking of 12-hour games that I wish was over after an hour and a half, that was abominable.
That's something you just have to walk away from.
We learned that the hard way. We said, let's invite a bunch of people to play Arkham Horror. So we have eight people. We threw every expansion together.
It's the worst
mistake we've ever done.
And we taught somebody new how to play, and he was stoned.
Yeah.
Was that the same guy who was stoned when we played fucking Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Yep.
And I had to explain the President's Chamber 80 goddamn times?
I think it was the same guy, or maybe I'm meshing the two
it's
horrible
not
experiences.
It's fucking complicated.
What do you do there?
Draw a card, and then either play a card or draw a second card.
Wait,
so,
what was the first card?
Can I play
two cards?
Yeah.
Oh my God. it was pretty abominable.
It was seriously every...
He's a really nice guy, but...
Yeah. I'd like to...
He's a great guy.
That was the worst Battlestar Galactica. The best Battlestar Galactica was that time you were a Cylon, Keith. You weren't a Cylon until 30 seconds before you lost, but you were a Cylon.
We did play another game of Battlestar last night where Marshall and I were Cylons together again, and we had every human in the brig when we were revealed. Every human in the brig.
That shouldn't happen. I wouldn't have revealed. I would have stayed fucking unrevealed.
I argued that Marshall had to reveal to bring the last human.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to get the last one in, but I still thought about it because I was Zarek. And so I could just keep the brig up. But I'm like, no, I want to do the super crazy.
No,
and
man.
I've never seen every human in the brig, and I just wanted that dream to come to me.
Just, then the two of you just brig them the old-fashioned way, and then you guys could just hit jump every time it's -3 pop and just keep them in the brig, and it'd be fucking hilarious.
Keith stopped that. He nuked the Admiral quarters as one of his reveals to get somebody.
Okay.
To get me, actually.
Okay.
I didn't know who my partner was. So I got Marshall to XO me, which should have been the the other Cylon.
He XO'd to my left.
Stupidly XO'ing right after the second round of loyalty cards came out. And then I was like, brig the Admiral? Because I was the president.
Yeah.
I was like, brig the Admiral reveal? And it was the damage Galactica twice, and I was like, "Ooh, hit the only other person who's not in the brig."
The other player was Boomer.
Nice,
yeah. And bleep into sick bay, and then Marshall got Marshall was in sick bay. You weren't Boomer; you were Zarek. You were not in the brig. Oh, and Boomer also wasn't in the brig, so I caught one of the two people to send him to sick bay, and I was like, "All right." Two in the brig, one in sick bay. It's not bad.
That's what I like to phrase the shocker now. Is
yeah.
Two in the brig, one
two in the brig,
one
in sick bay. And then Marshall is like, oh no, my turn's next. Please XO me. And then got XO'd to the left, and he walked out of sick bay and revealed and
brig the
last human.
Person.
And then it was his turn next. So he dropped his super crisis, which was the one that was like, if you fail, two centurions on the boarding track.
They can only play one card each time.
Yeah. And then it came around to me, and I was like, and they had like worked up their jump track by two, and then I had my super crisis was massive assault.
Which is the worst goddamn fucking thing ever.
And then just bloop, bloop, jump track down to zero. They're all in the brig. So like the jump track is not progressing.
Centurions are still marching towards the hold.
And the crises before when I got XO'd was a base star. Five raiders and a heavy raider.
So they're all brigged with two base stars, two centurions. This is good times. They got that.
They did manage to get rid of the centurions. And it came down to the raiders killing everything and then shooting Galactica until it almost died. And then the base stars finishing off Galactica.
Whoa! What? Raiders were shooting Galactic out of the sky?
Well, it was already damaged from my reveal.
Got terribly, terribly.
There were
wrong.
Still civvy ships left, so I activated the Raiders. They killed the last two civvy ships, and then there were 12 more Raiders to shoot.
Holy Christ!
A rare Cylon victory.
Yeah, that never happens.
From in the base game too.
Yeah.
No
extra. Five vanilla. Wow.
So yeah, it was good times.
I still think I've seen the humans win once, and it was not anywhere around any of us.
Oh, we've had a big debate about this. I maintain
that
your group must
won.
Change how they play. Like I, it's simple logic. You guys, you play, the humans always lose. These are two facts. Or your group, the humans always lose.
One die roll away from the humans winning.
But your group, the humans always lose. Ergo, 60% of you are losing every game. Ergo, it is in your benefit to change how you play it.
See,
we've had
several new people come in and lose to us as Cylons while they're humans. So, yeah.
The only time I played, humans won. And I managed to stop the special victory condition of our Cylon sympathizer.
You son of a bitch. For no reason. Like, just randomly. Oh, why not?
Yeah, this will be funny.
Like, the last thing he does is randomly move a track up one and another track down. Like, he just ran, and it just fucked me out of my Cylon sympathizer.
Yeah,
not sympathizer, the Cylon
leaders. I love the Cylon leaders.
I was Cylon leader.
So it was like getting randomly run over by the assassin.
It was like randomly being assassinated.
It was the most glorious day ever.
Yeah, because you caused Nathan to lose randomly.
I did.
Keith's friend causes him to lose randomly.
That was sad.
It was and Katie was in the brig.
That
Katie
day.
Was in the brig for the half second half of the game. She was pretty bored.
Because she was so obviously a Cylon.
Except she wasn't.
Right. Well, because no right-minded Cylon would have been in the position that he was.
Right.
Turns out,
not right-minded.
Nope.
And then earlier that day, we played Fortune and Glory, and every single turn I killed Nathan just because I could.
Fuck
every
you.
Single turn.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised I didn't end up in a bell tower with a high-powered rifle and a box of Oreos.
That was such a good day. Oh my God.
Oreos are delicious.
It's an important detail of that, is that guy in Texas in the clock tower brought Oreos with him. Wow. That was his holdout food.
It's his last meal, probably, right?
I had a buddy. There's a card game called Let's Kill, where you're trying to get the most media coverage for your murders.
Whoa.
And it's hilarious.
Wow.
It's great. But, like, you pick a victim, a location, and a weapon. So, like, you can kill Santa Claus with a gas-powered weed whacker in the post office and stuff like that. The post office is a great location because first you have to survive a shootout with the postal workers before you can actually kill your victim. And so it's horrible, bad taste game. But...
I'm intrigued.
It was designed by a buddy of mine, Aaron. Actually, I didn't know him as Shanwer because that's his name in the SCA. But I always point out that the gas powered weed whacker card, the weed whacker has an electrical cable plugged into it, which is a big flaw. But the point is, he got that detail right, and I'm thankful he got that detail right. That's the point of my story. Is one of the weapons is high powered rifle with a box of Oreos.
Ah,
oh,
I see.
So Jay Moore and Christopher Walken are talking.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
It's about a dog and wagging my tail when I'm angry.
Well, maybe you would.
Yeah.
There, that's the whole antidote.
That's the whole antidote. So that's the antidote to the anecdote.
That was the antidote.
I'm afraid not.
That did not make me feel better. So,
so
it was not an antidote.
Are we actually going to talk about recommendations?
Oh, yeah. I thought
what is that your recommendation? What is the game name again?
Oh, I could. No, it's not. Let's Kill. Whatever.
No, it's not.
That's not right. Somebody,
it sounds like a great side game to play with Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, it's the same style of tasteless, horrible
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, I know my recommendation, so I'll go ahead and.
It was
first.
People at Walmart. You got all excited when I mentioned it.
I was going to recommend People at Walmart, but actually, what I'm going to recommend is there's a player created mission for Zombicide that has two small rooms and then a building that takes up the entire fucking board, and I've now played it 5 times. And it's goddamn fucking unwinnable. I don't care. I don't care how good you are at playing. I don't care how many players you have. It is unwinnable. We raced to the cars, had 2 cars running around, and we still got just insta-killed. Even though we cheated and pretended we had unlimited infinite zombies, and so a split or a card flop could never cause extra moves, we still lost.
Keith has got Goth Girl and me as roller skates. We got this.
Beesh.
Never lose.
Not a chance in hell.
No. Keith and I, as those
have
two characters,
seen
never
Keith
lose.
Dice?
I did, because Keith was playing with us this last time.
It didn't end well.
It was horrible. It is
It is unwinnable.
Yeah, but to be fair, they had somebody that was pretty subpar at everything on the team.
I was still alive in the car at the end, so I don't feel like it was my fault that the loss occurred. I feel like other people played poorly.
Yeah.
Were other people, Jeremy?
El Cholo lost a machete. It all fell apart after that.
El Cholo did get an arm chop.
El Cholo.
El Cholo sad.
I think I can only play El Cholo for now on.
That's because it's like playing Hodor.
El Cholo angry.
But yeah, so that's my recommendation. It's a terrible mission. Never play it. Love the game other than that, but that mission is unwinnable.
No, so play it. Win it.
Yeah. No.
Fuck you. Yeah.
No.
Somebody's going to win
it. If you don't enjoy losing a co-op game, you should never play it.
Yeah.
No.
There are certain scenarios that are unbound. I mean, there's like, it's
made
by the company. Sometimes I'll make the scenario.
I love playing Battle of Lake Town. We're going to win that son of a bitch eventually.
I've won.
And that's half. Yeah. We had hoes the last two times, and it's like this deck of 50 mission cards. There's one card in there that'll screw us. Otherwise, we got this done. And both times, it just randomly flipped up that one card. It happens. But the point is, that shows it's winnable.
Yeah. It's like the Sentinels game. It's like, came down to the last I rolled. Was like, I'm about to do 15 points of damage to the end boss. Yeah. Boss goes, nope, all your stuff goes away.
One card in the deck.
And you die.
Yeah.
I agree.
I broke that game, and then the card's like, nope, there's one card that unbreaks it.
Yep. No, I agree. I agree that if a challenging co-op game can be very fun, but I agree.
Absolutely.
Agree that one particular scenario, I
100% agree with both of those statements.
I have seen, although, to be honest, in the more recent Lord of the Rings quests, there are some that I think that are not fun to play. There are some that are not.
The only one that we really hated was
Heirs of Numenor 2.
Yeah, they flubbed a couple.
Is that the
of
one
the,
like where it starts with the guys who are
Sauron
like
support?
Yeah, that one's bullshit.
I beat that solo earlier today.
Well, I think because it's a 4 difficulty. I think it's 4 difficulty per player.
Yeah.
Like if you play 4 player, that's a 16 difficulty.
I've successfully soloed it. We successfully beat it with 2 players. Yep. We added a 3rd player and never got
it's
close.
Horrible.
Never
horrible.
Got close. I can't imagine with a 4th player that
is
remotely
funny.
Possible.
I love that. Like you're fighting dragons and like Balrogs and stuff. And they're tough, and you're getting your ass handed to you, but sometimes you beat those things.
Dudes in the woods!
Yeah, and you're then, like, and then, here's the Numenor comes out, and the first one is bandits.
Bar fight.
Bandits in a bar fight, and you're playing it, and the bandits are, like, kicking your ass. You're like, okay, hill trolls look like cake compared to these random bandits
in
this,
bar
fight. And so they're kicking your ass. You're like, okay, well, the next quest is lower difficulty rating. It's going to be easier.
Yeah.
It's random Seltzer and Companies out in the woods, no problem.
Yeah.
Only a 4 difficulty, and it just ruins you.
And that we only play typically 4 players, so we just...
That one's just
fucking retarded.
And then the third one is in some ways worse.
We played that second one 2 or 3 times, and they're like, oh, we need an easier one, and we pulled out like Lake Town and did way better.
Yep. Yeah.
It was pathetic. I think the third one
and the one with the mystery villain and whatnot?
The third one is the one
where you have to
protect the locations.
Oh.
In the third one?
That's where you have to put progress on every single location, and there's all these cards that wipe it, and every time they get wiped,
that's a different
quest.
That's the third.
That's Battle of Five Armies.
He's talking about the third one in the original box.
Yeah, the third one in the original box, where if you lose a location, you add a step to the quest. Miserable.
I'm not sure I've even played that one.
Then there's a treachery that comes out that's pick a color. Every other color
doesn't quest.
Every other color. You pick a color that's
the only one that counts towards quest.
No, that color on your board is immune to this card. The rest of the colors on your board take 3 damage.
Ooh.
So, are you playing more than one color hero? Because if this hits you twice, that hero's dead.
There was I forget which one had the one that was like.
There's a lot of 3L.
The one that was remove almost everybody from the quest, and then if nobody's on the quest, you're fucked in your butthole.
Right.
That's
and then
the
there's another
one.
That's in Heirs of Numenor 2, right?
Yeah, Heirs of Numenor 2.
And then there's another one that's like every questing character takes damage, so you have to gamble which one you're going to
get. Either super quest or don't quest, because if you guess wrong, you're going to get screwed by one of the missions.
Yeah. And the one of them shuffles back into the deck.
Yeah. That one, they added it. They took the shuffle off of it.
Oh, thank Christ. Yeah. Wargs in the woods or something. Blocking wargs. Blocking wargs.
No, they errated it because if they were the last 2 cards,
it
you got hit by it infinitely.
Yeah, so you couldn't
continue
playing.
Because it
had
surge.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you guys made my point for me. That mission, unwinnable, miserable, don't play it.
All right.
By the way, I'm blaming the fact that we have a Muse member on here for the fact that we're going to go 2 hours.
Yep.
Clearly that's the problem.
A podcast is an hour and a half plus a half hour per Muse cast.
And talked far too much about War Machine.
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was also, I blame on the mute.
That half hour of War Machine talk was your fault.
Or the half an hour Star Trek talk we have every day was probably too much, too.
Well, here's the thing with Star Trek, though.
All right, who else has a recommendation?
So, Keith, you got a recommendation?
No, go the other way.
No.
He's never done this before. He needs a minute to prep.
I'm going to think about it.
You've had an hour and 42 minutes to prep. Nathan,
I wasn't prepping for
recommendation. Your recommendation.
I don't have a recommendation.
You always have recommendations. You have like three or four.
What the hell is happening here? Jordan, you have a recommendation. Go. I'll have one later.
I've tried to step away from MMOs. I've been very addicted during college. I've unfortunately started playing Neverwinter. If you want to track yourself and possibly ruining your life again, check out Neverwinter. It's free, but then you will realize, man, if I just spent $10 or $20, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting financial mechanic, but I've yet to spend money on it. We will see. Give it a shot.
Hey, Brian, there was that game you played.
Tapping that vein.
It was all cool because you had like puzzles that you solved in real world. Like you had to look up the website of that.
The Secret World.
Was that still cool?
That's still cool. Secret World and Neverwinter are fun because I own both of them, and I play Secret World maybe a couple times a month. And Neverwinter, I played a lot, and I still like it, but I might not play it for a week, but it's free. And like Jordan said, you can easily go, you know, it has a lot of the mechanics for our kind of like Facebook minigames. Like, your crafting is like you have to do these 10 things that take, you know, 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, or you spend some crystals and you get it done instantly. Or you just have patience. So those who don't have patience, just pay a dollar. Everything's done now. You know, it's all those little subtle things you can do in the game.
So you're not mainlining the heroin quite as hard as you
did. But you can completely do it free. If you have patience and just don't mind. And the times aren't unrealistic. It's not like you have to pay to play, but you can just do everything for free. Or, it's only $2. Only $2. Only $2. Where'd my paycheck go?
That's how it is with prostitutes. I have a recommendation now, actually. Anyone who's listened to this podcast might know that some of us like Borderlands 2.
What
did he get
for
a prostitute? $2. Well, I cannot buy that new expansion for it off of PlayStation.
Jordan did ask what he gets for $2 off of a prostitute.
Well, you know, it depends on the prostitute. Anyway, so...
In what country they're from?
The taste of RC
and
Cola.
Where in town you are. Yes. Taste of RC Cola. delicious. So anyway, so... And we talked about we kind of burned out on it a bit. And if you might have also, hypothetically out there, listener, have played Borderlands 2 and have burned out on it, or maybe you haven't gotten to Borderlands 2 yet, I'm going to recommend the new character, Krieg. I had burned out on Borderlands 2. I hadn't played it for a couple weeks, and that happens. I mean, when you play something for hundreds of hours, eventually you're going to stop playing it maybe for a little while.
For like 8 months.
Right. Like, I played Borderlands 2 more than I worked or slept. Like, it was really like work is 8 hours, sleeping is 5 hours, Borderlands is 9 hours of the day. Like, that's how it had to work out. Yeah, that math works. So,
Jeremy math.
I needed to make sure. So the point is, I burned out finally. I stopped playing for a couple weeks, whatever. And then the Krieg, the new character drop came, and it's fucking amazing. And I was having fun with it, and Andy and Jeremy are making puppy dog eyes at each other, and it's confusing. And I wasn't sure why I enjoyed it, and then I realized why. And somebody talked about this also with the Space Marine. If you played the Space Marine like third-person shooter game, it's the same thing. I hate Gears of War, because when you're hurt, you just hide behind a wall until you heal, and that's boring and lame, and it's like playing whack-a-mole. In the Space Marine game, when you're hurt, you get healing by murdering the shit out of people in melee. So when you're injured, the correct tactical decision is to charge towards the danger, shrieking like a madman.
Uh-huh.
And that's how the Krieg character works in Borderlands. When you're almost dead, you charge the supreme badass and try to kill with melee because you full heal with your tech skill. And so it's just awesome fucking fun. Instead of hiding and shooting, you just shriek and run forward.
And I think he'll be really, really fun to play through all the adventures, but I do not think he'll be very fun to play on boss fights.
That is true.
Much like Gage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of them are really, really good.
Which one's Gage?
Gage the Mechromancer. The Mechromancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, both of them are really, really good if you're just adventuring. I mean, Gage is phenomenal at just wiping out camps of stuff.
Yeah.
But once you get into a boss fight, you're like, I don't really do anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Although what he could be, depending on the boss, if it's a boss you can get close to, if it doesn't have like a knockback or something, if you go down the middle tree and max it, you have the, when I'm low on health, I turn into a super god in melee. I take no damage.
Super Mega Mutant and recharge your...
And as soon as you come out, it's fully recharged again. So when you get down to 33% again, you just activate it again. And so you just have this where you keep going
I'm
psycho.
Thinking like,
might work. It might not.
Even like Hyperion, if you're like, oh, I'm going crazy, and you run up there, those rocket pods will just kill you.
Probably. Yeah. You're 99% probably right, but I'm having so much fun just murdering the shit out of random mobs in melee. It's great.
I had a lot of fun running around as Gage, too, through the playthrough. It's hilariously great, but
she can't solo?
No, she solos great.
Yeah, she solos, but the bosses...
She can't do the invincibles, the raid bosses. She doesn't do well against raid bosses.
Or even the final boss, like the warrior. That robot just stands there and zaps racks. not very impressive.
He doesn't do anything, but she can kill the warrior.
I leveled like two or three times fighting the warrior because that stupid robot just kept zapping her axe while I was fighting. And I had a thing where every time he killed something, I got something back.
Yeah.
So I was like unkillable god because the stupid thing was just standing there zapping her axe, but it took me like an hour and a half to kill the stupid warrior.
It did not take me an hour and a half because I had found a Liyuta recently, and that game was fucking broken.
Yes. That is a wonderful
game. I did buy the special edition thing from ThinkGeek, the Borderlands pack that was available for like 3 hours before it sold out.
Yeah, the little chest. That looked awesome.
Yeah, the chest, and I'll probably get it in the mail next. I'll bring it in.
I keep going on the PlayStation store trying to buy Creek, because I know I'll like playing them through at least once.
Yeah.
It won't let me add funds to my wallet.
Your credit card didn't change or expire? You a new card?
It may be expired. I don't even know how to change it on the store.
You can actually like go to a physical like GameStop and buy downloads in person, and they give you a code.
The weird thing is I go to the downloadable content in Borderlands, and it won't load that either, so I'm afraid that it's not my card.
I've noticed that on PlayStation Network, a lot of times to add funds and things, you have to do that from the computer rather than from...
I've added funds off of my mine before.
I have mine before, too.
It just might
maybe it's an expiration date issue.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
It's still aggravating because I don't want to go buy a code and find out it is not.
Right. It may have been the other way around. I may have not been able to manipulate the account from the web.
You have to put in the new card from the PlayStation. The new card from the website.
That may have been true.
But yeah, so if you burned out on Borderlands 2, download Krieg. He'll refresh your love affair.
All right. I guess my quick recommendation is it's an app, and as probably maybe some of you know that some of us drink, and it's an app called Untapped. It's a way that you can keep track of all of the drinks that you've had, like for beers, all the little microbrews around there,
and
you can rate them, and as you rate them, you also get a little achievements, which is probably bad.
But I need to drink
three more
beers.
What is it, Pandora, where...
music one.
I kind of like this song, and then they start playing Billy Joel.
Whatever. But God damn it.
They'd also give you recommendations based on...
Yeah, it's like Pandora for beer, right?
I like Billy Joel.
But
we only play Billy Joel doo-wop.
I had a CD of music you would love, Keith, in the car yesterday.
God.
But if anybody wants to be my friend on there, I'm Major Tusk on Untapped. Just
so we can be drinking buddies via apps?
Yeah, I got
Doug Seacat. I keep accidentally playing footsie with Keith, and I'm okay with it.
I should tell Josh Maxson about that. He's a whatever they call
it. Alcoholic?
Yeah. No, it's the other thing when you like beer a lot.
Connoisseur.
There's actually a word for it.
It's kind of like the beer version of a sommelier.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's a word for it.
He just swish it around in his mouth and spit it out.
Yeah, but not beer. You're talking about something else.
I was talking about the jizz turkey.
God.
Oh, damn it. That should have been my recommendation.
Just turkey?
No.
Swish it around in your mouth and spit it out.
But
RC10?
Maybe. Yeah. That's what you should have done with the RC10, definitely.
No, that'd be the worst. Yeah. That's just the taste and no refreshment. No slaking of your thirst, just the taste of RC Cola.
Ooh, good use of slake instead of quench. I like slake as a word.
I was going to say, I just started using it too, but it's kind of neat because I don't know the types of beer very well, so I don't know like the difference between a normal ale and an IPA and stuff like that, and it tells me I just drink what I like to drink.
Do not touch IPA unless you like sucking on skunk butt.
Yeah, IPAs are solid.
Generally, but I mean,
I agree.
That should tell you.
It's a way that I can find out what beers I normally drink, what they're actually are listed as.
The last month I lived here, I went to the grocery store and I got a build-your-own six-pack of beer, and I got six different beers that were very different from each other in the hopes of finding a specific, maybe I'm like this, maybe like this, whatever. I thought I'd do like the shotgun approach and see if something tastes like shit. So then like the next day I go up there and like two of my beers are missing. And it turns out one of my roommates had drunk them, and he's like, oh, well, I usually keep a build-your-own six-pack there, so I thought maybe it was mine. But I didn't remember buying one. But I just didn't remember buying it. And it was, the one I drank was an IPA, and I hate IPAs. So I'm like, fucker. So you drank my beer. Now I don't know whether or not I like IPAs.
Spoiler alert, you
turned
don't.
Turns out I don't. Spoiler alert, I had actually bought two IPAs in that sampler, and the other one tasted like horseshit.
Yeah.
I've actually found out recently.
While it was ice cold out of the fridge, I actually kind of liked it when it was super ice cold, but the instant it dropped like one temperature, I just wanted to kill myself.
Yeah. I recently found out that I like sours. If you ever get a chance to try sours.
Oh, gin and sours is good. Gin sours, whiskey sours.
This is a beer.
It's a
kind of type of beer that's called a sour.
Yeah.
There's definitely sours as a mixer.
You don't see them around too often.
Well, aren't they usually fruit beers?
Yes.
Like, that's why you don't see them as
not
often.
Not necessarily.
New Glarus has a sour cherry, I think it is.
Well, they have a cherry. They have a serendipity in
the cherry
and
the
raspberry
sour.
Tart.
Okay. The cherry, that's what I'm thinking of. The raspberry tart is
cherry.
The
only one that's
sour,
a beer is
but I don't
cherry.
Think it's a sour. Like, there's a difference. Like, there's a type of beer
called a sour.
Their cherry beer is sour as a descriptor, but not as a type.
I wouldn't even call that beer, though. It's
I can
more like
look
a
it up here
wine. It's so delicious, though.
Anyway, that's what I know.
And now you know.
So, yeah, it's actually the app is called Untappd without an E in it. So it's UNTAPPD.
All right. Is there an apostrophe at least to represent the missing?
No.
I have a problem with that, though.
Recommendations for me now? All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, mine's kind of simple. Everyone, last week, Game of Thrones had the Red Wedding, which we talked about a little bit last week. This last week, there's been so many hilarious videos posted online
of
various
snippets
about,
reactions and stuff.
Reactions. Yeah. There's just like spoof videos with George Martin. There's a montage. There's a mix of Princess
Thank God
Bride.
Catelyn's dead.
There's the Princess Bride / Red Wedding little video, which you have to.
Oh my God!
You have to watch the Princess Bride.
Sounds amazing.
So
is it seriously like marriage and then the Red Wedding happens?
No, it's actually that would be pretty good. But what this has done is even better. It's so there's just so many hilarious, stupid videos on the internet this week based on that last episode.
You need to send me that link, by the way, Brian.
Just Google Red Wedding and videos. You just see so much crap that was out
of the videos. George R. R. Martin one you had on your Facebook page was hilarious. Yeah.
I saw an interview with Martin where they're like, why would you kill them? He's like, well, I want the characters to be real so that when I kill them, it's like your dog just got ran over.
He was on Conan. He has a bunch of stuff from that, too, this week. So it's like, it's just good. Literally, and I stopped posting on Facebook because there's just too many videos I kept finding. I'm like, I can't spam the entire week.
There's a great just picture of Martin. It was like, macro style. There's just a picture of Martin. It's like, oh, you have a favorite character? I can take care of that.
So I don't think we ever mentioned it. Do you ever say what you did?
Oh, this is one of my favorite things anybody's ever
done.
So Martin is a slow writer. He's very slow at getting his books out.
Are you sure
out.
You want to incriminate yourself?
I will always love Brian because this is the greatest thing anybody's ever done.
So I'm like, and Martin's, I have bets with people. Martin is going to die before he finishes the series.
It'll
I will not be.
That's a well-known fact.
Except
for now it's slid off a masterpiece.
I no longer consider it a masterpiece due to book six. Book five. Book six might bring it back.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, he's old, which is fine. He has terrible eating habits, which is fine. And he has everything. All his activities are terrible. The heroin user,
he's
I heard.
Die next Tuesday. He goes to $2 whores and uses heroin, drinks RC-10.
Now, I will say, because of the show, there are some tidbits out there, so people might get an ending, but whatever. So, before book five was out, I'm like, I'm sick of this guy. I got banned from his website a few times. I would post things like, stop jerking off and write your goddamn book.
So, it's been like 5 years. Like, the first three came out really quickly.
Year and a half for the first three.
And then
it was 3 years and it was 5 years, or 4 or 5 years. So
Butcher can put out a book every 6 months. Come on.
Yeah. So I'm like, screw it. I went to the store. I bought a copy of Misery, and I sent it to him for Christmas. And I will tell you this. Within 6 months, he announced the next book. You're welcome, world. I will tell you my very next plan. I was going to buy a CD of the band Anthrax and mail that to him. But luckily,
I think it might have been an Andy Dia.
Yeah.
I
didn't actually do that because he got out with the book. And the third action, I was going to cut off his head. But that's that's not here nor there.
That reminds me of I went to see Philip Pullman speak at one point in time, and he'd been getting ragged on a little bit when he was writing the Golden Compass trilogy. It was Golden Compass, Subtle Knife, Amber Spyglass. Before Amber Spyglass came out, he told a story about this was at the Amber Spyglass book release, and he was telling a story about a letter he received from a fan. And he's like, I open up this envelope, and there's a small picture of a cute squirrel in there, and I'm like, well, this is odd. There's this picture. I've been sent a picture of a squirrel. And he opens up the letter, and he's like, Dear Mr. Pullman, I'm a big fan of your books, etc., etc. And the letter ends, Finish your book, Mr. Pullman, or the squirrel dies.
I'd awesome. Like to see if anybody out there end up meeting George Martin. is ask him if he actually remembers. I tried to send someone to ask him.
When he was at a con, and I'm like, I'm not going to bring it up.
Ryan's going to get tackled by security. Yeah. Drug
I didn't put my name or address on that, so now someone's like, hey, wait a minute. So it's back. I want to be careful. It's been enough years. I think you know. It's,
jokes
you know.
On you, Martin's an avid listener of our podcast.
He's like that son of a bitch.
He's Pip.
Yeah. He's Pip.
I'm on to you, Martin.
Well, it's so much fun to read his blog. Every blog entry is about how he does all the. You know, he should do things.
I went skydiving after eating a steak. My cholesterol is at 7 billion.
I ate 5 boxes of nachos, which doesn't make any sense, but he did it.
I ate at Arby's.
That's pretty awesome.
I had an RC-10. No,
Martin.
So
finish your books, asshole.
My recommend is really lame, but it's buying Target brand groceries.
Yes.
Specifically,
Archer Farms.
Archer Farms peach pineapple salsa.
That's really good. Dude, that's like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
You can buy both. Market Pantry is like their cheap version, generic.
Yeah.
It's actually better. Like, Market Pantry pizzas are like Tombstone pizzas for Jack's price.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like,
what's the name brand of this?
But Jack's the best.
What's the name of the
Market Pantry
pizzas?
And Archer Farms.
And Archer Farms are their higher end, quote unquote.
But Jack's is the best.
No,
they're not.
No. Jack's are good if you have absolutely nothing to eat at all.
Jack's are good once in a while. But they have like
oh no Orbs.
Orbs is the worst. Those are the pizzas that are like $1 a piece.
Oh yeah, they taste like
those
cardboard.
Are
like somebody put pepperoni on this cardboard.
Yeah. If you're eating the pizza or the cardboard sheet that comes with it.
It's not
a two-pack.
Like you know when you think generic, you think Orbs, but Target's Market Pantry generics are actually equivalent to their product. Like, I went to Roundy's and I bought their oatmeal.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the fuck is this? It was definitely not food.
I just bought oatmeal for the first time. It's a Roundy's generic. I'm concerned. Oh. I haven't actually opened it yet.
That was a bad
decision.
I tried Roundy's generic mac and cheese one time.
Like, the reason I'm on this podcast tonight is because I drove like halfway across town to go to Target instead of the Roundy's that's right up the store. Because I know that I can go to Target and I can buy generics that are edible. I'll save more than the gas and time that I just use.
To get the really good selection, you do need to find a Super Target, which aren't very common at this point.
But either way, I mean, their Market Pantry generic is really good for a generic. And then their Archer Farms is a deluxe generic, which oxymorons are always good.
Uh-huh.
And they're fantastic.
Amazing.
It's their premium brand or whatever, and it is premium. They're delicious. Like,
cool.
Yeah. For real, try it out.
The peach pineapple salsa is a life changer.
Yeah, it was really good. They have a lot of good products.
I've never been disappointed by Archer Farms, ever.
All their Archer Farms salsas are good. Like, their green stuff actually tastes like salsa verde, not like green vomit.
Yeah.
They're all really good.
Hmm.
Archer Farm stuff is really good.
I actually, like, when I'm going on, like, a long road trip to, like, War Machine Weekend or something like that, I stop at the Super Target here to stock up on the stuff because it is good.
It's good.
Hey, they have good animal crackers, Keith.
Ooh, I love animal crackers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Frosted or otherwise.
I take credit for that one because that first War Machine Weekend we went together in Springfield, I had a big thing of animal crackers, and you stole the second half of it.
I don't remember that.
And since then, you've been doing that.
The very first DICON that I went to, I was so damn poor that I believe my food for the entire weekend was animal crackers and 7-Up. That's where the tradition
is. Luckily, we were there 2 days early because you're welcome.
Well, because that's why I was doing War Machine Weekend. I had like $6 to my name. I'm like, I could buy a $4 thing of animal crackers and then have $2 for a whore.
So if a class starts at 7 p.m. on Friday, the goal time for arrival is 7 a.m. on Thursday, right?
Brian.
that's a Brian goal. All
right. I will say Keith did give me Doctor Who. Nathan mentioned it, but Keith finally pushed me over. Well, we had 3 days. Away for DICON to start. He's like, let's watch a fucking Doctor Who because, you know, the con starts in a week.
Yeah, we watched IT Crowd and then IT Crowd. We finished a whole series of IT Crowd and then we're like, well, we have nothing else to do because people still won't be here for another 14 hours. So let's watch some Doctor Who.
Speaking of which, Matt Smith is leaving.
He's been confirmed as regenerating at the end of the Christmas special, which will come after the 50th anniversary special, which motherfucking John Hurt.
There's a few that I'm hoping to be the next Doctor.
Yeah.
Now, and so one of the rumors I heard was Richard from the IT Crowd.
Yeah.
Who would be great?
Which one?
The Moss.
Aody.
It was a thing with Ross. He was trying to volunteer as a character, not as the actor.
Okay.
Okay. No, that would not be good.
whatever. I would literally kill if I could make Craig Ferguson be the next Doctor. No? Have you ever watched his talk show?
Yes.
He's amazing.
He's funny.
He's amazing. He'd be so good.
Not a phenomenal
actor.
More
importantly, I don't remember if this was just a conversation
we
had.
Have you never seen the Drew Carey show?
Andy's already on the Google. Did we talk about this on air, or was this just a conversation we had? I think it's just a conversation we had.
I'm trying to find the picture.
A rumor that at first I thought, ha ha ha, that's really dumb and dumb, and now I legitimately think it would be the greatest thing ever. Just picture in your mind, next Doctor, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That is the worst idea.
No. Ruminate for a couple seconds. Just flexing the pecs, raising the eyebrow.
What about
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
The worst idea.
Oh, my God. I've got one. That's
You've obviously never seen the Journey to the Center of the Earth sequel with him.
Hey,
he's great.
He's legitimately
People are throwing
good.
Berries at him, and he's bouncing him off of his pecs by flexing his pecs. He's legitimately a funny guy. He's legitimately hilarious. I love The Rock.
Go away, monkey.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Rundown is a
Rundown.
Ridiculously awesome movie.
Think about this. There's nothing saying the next Doctor couldn't be a woman.
Yeah, hey. They keep saying that.
Hey.
The only female Doctor was Joanna Lumley in the charity spinoff.
What about Adam West?
Yes.
Too old.
Nope.
This reboot of Doctor Who, I don't think we're ever going to get.
Well, at this pace, he's
going to
be 16 years old. Like, Justin Bieber's going to be the next fucking Doctor at this point.
Oh, man.
I read an article today. There was
RC Cola.
It could be Daniel Radcliffe.
No, Rupert Grint. What? So he could finally be Ginger, Rupert Grint.
He's like, I'm a Ginger. That would be amazing.
There was an article today I read. There was three people the three people who were up for Doctor Who, they thought, from the rumors, was this guy. One of the actors who played the older brother of Weasley from Harry Potter, like one of the two older brother twins.
So Ginger.
Ginger. And there was some black guy who does things, but who pays attention?
The Rock.
No,
was
it The Rock?
Was it Idris Elba?
No, it wasn't. It was the younger guy.
That guy would be awesome.
And then there was another guy.
Of course, it's some British guy.
That was my joke. I didn't.
No, but that's why I love The Rock. Like, who says he has to be British? Huh?
No.
BBC.
It's a terrible idea.
No! The Rock would be legitimately amazing.
Yeah, I can't find that picture.
We've passed the appropriate time frame, but I think Michael Caine would have been the best Doctor of all time.
Stop being British.
From Multiplicity?
Yeah, Michael Keaton. They can have multiple Doctors. They can all regenerate.
Yeah.
They have the fourth Doctor.
Just four. Not Michael Keaton. It needs to be his four. He needs to have the things nailed to his boots, the other boot on his head.
I had forgotten... I'd forgotten how infuriating and how good at that Jim is, where he would just, like, you say one thing and he picks something close to it that pisses you off. It's a gift.
Yeah, because he went immediately to that. It was instant. There was no hesitation.
Oh, it's like with Keaton. That would be awesome.
We've given you time. Do you have a recommendation?
Yes, I do have a recommendation.
Wait, Marshall doesn't have one either.
Speaking of authors who are nearing the end of their careers and their lives, unfortunately, if you have not read nearly everything Terry Pratchett has ever written, go do so now.
Terry Pratchett is a living god.
He's one of the most clever people who's ever lived, and now that his contracting Alzheimer's it's a tragedy.
It is.
Has my favorite quote of all time: "Set a man on fire."
If you build a man on fire, you keep him warm for a day. Night. If you set a man on fire, you keep him warm for the rest of his life.
That's my favorite quote of all time. I mean,
The Discworld novels are just so brilliant from start even to the more latter ones where he's not quite as clever as he is. He still tells good stories for his characters.
And Good Omens is one of the works of our time.
And yes, Good Omens with Neil Gaiman as well. You can definitely tell who's writing what, but it's still incredible.
He's too funny for me. I don't know.
Pratchett is too funny for you?
I mean, he's just clever. I don't like to read clever. I mean, it's, I don't know, it's weird.
Clever thing make Brian sad.
Well, he's more goofy funny than he is. I mean, it's his level of...
A different style.
Yeah.
It's
more slapstick comedy.
It's in the setting of high fantasy, but at the same time, he takes none of it seriously.
The names are all goofy. It's all puns on things.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, the luggage exists. Yeah. I mean, they have a whole plot where scientists are going to go over the edge of the Earth to look at the genitals of a giant turtle. I mean, that's a thing. Well, if your world is on the back of a giant turtle, it's important to know what gender it is.
It's true. What if it's going to lay eggs or something?
Yeah.
It turns out it was female.
It makes sense within the context of the world.
Have I talked about Hunter's Run? That's a good collaboration between authors.
Uh-uh.
That's George Martin with some of his sci-fi buddies.
That's one of those things that that Martin was doing instead of writing Game of Thrones books.
Oh, that one was so worth it. Dude, Hunter's Run is about a bunch of Mexicans that have nothing going on Earth. So they're like, okay, we'll sign up to go faster than light to another world and colonize it. And it's a sci-fi with all Mexicans and all their culture gloriousness, and it is amazing.
Huh.
It's so awesome.
I am biting my tongue so hard right now to not just literally just become a member of the KKK with all the funny jokes. They're funny in my head, but it's just going to be blatant racism.
They're all in the back of your head while you're reading this book.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
I'm imagining the rocket ship having hydraulics and just bouncing through space.
See, I pictured the rocket ship as being just packed with people.
Oh, my God. And I think they were, too.
With a mattress on it.
It's funny.
Lance.
But that book, the premise is insane. It's a really good book.
Martin's other books are very well written.
Yes, they are.
Except, well, there's a one hippie book which is just weird.
Weird.
It's still well written, but it's fucking weird. Sorry.
Yeah, but no, you said the collaboration, so I just wanted to.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Pratchett is—he's seriously like Shakespeare level, like one of the greatest authors in recorded human history.
Phenomenal. Particularly.
You're a big fan of Shakespeare, are you?
Particularly, I would say my favorites are Night Watch,
yeah,
Lords and Ladies. Those are my two favorites.
Night Watch is good. That's I like Guards. Guards is the one with Carrot.
Yeah.
It was the first one. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got a scene where this guy, he's very, very like by the book and everything. He tries to arrest a dragon, so he's reading this dragon his rights, and it's just the most brilliant scene.
Pretty funny. But yeah, Night Watch is the one where Vimes ends up back in time,
yeah,
reliving his own life.
It's definitely, like Brian said, like maybe it's too wacky for some people. It's kind of a dry wacky. Like, it's wacky, but not pie-in-the-face wacky. It's like the pie's sitting there, and it's funny for some reason.
Yes, that's a very good description.
I've had friends describe the books to me, and I'm like, that just seems too real. I've never actually tried to read one. I've had people like tell me plots of a book or tell me some of the things. I'm like, that just
seems too... You haven't actually read them?
I've just had people tell me about them, and it just seems too ridiculous. Yeah,
no one could do justice to one of those books in description unless they were themselves a quirky British person. It would just sound stupid otherwise.
And that's what I've always...
I am going to loan you the first one. You need to read the first one and then judge for yourself.
It's much like Doctor Who in that sense. Like, describing Doctor Who can never
do it justice.
It's
a guy in a box and he's dumb. Like, yeah, that's not good.
It's the same British situation where you just have to read it.
You know what? I'll give it a try.
I have enjoyed the BBC's movies.
Yeah.
Movies about the book, so about
they're
the
shockingly
haven't
good.
Seen any of
them. Yeah, yeah. Color of Magic, Hogfather, and
I love Hogfather.
And the Going Postal there's a two part, like they're like 2 hour each part, like mini series. They're on Netflix.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually
Color of Magic has why am I blanking on his name? The guy from
Lord of the Rings.
No.
Colin Farrell?
Yes, no.
Plus 15 seconds.
Yes. The guy who was Dr. Frankenfurter.
Dr. Frankenfurter?
Tim Curry.
Tim
Curry is the villain in Color of Magic. Tim Curry, who just had a stroke, by the way.
Oh, no.
But no, apparently it's one of those strokes where you wake up and you're like, oh, I guess I had a stroke now. Because he's like, okay, he's full use of everything. He's going to be back to work. So just...
Only the right side of his penis.
He had a casual stroke.
Casual stroke.
So I will say, though, Sean Astin is in it, and he is from The Lord of the Rings.
Yes. Is a casual stroke $2?
Yes. Yes, casual stroke is $2. It's half-hearted.
He drank two RC-10s, and he got a stroke. So Marshall, is Marshall have a recommendation?
Keith, quick thing. Christopher Lee is in it.
Ooh.
As Death.
All right, so first I'm going to thank I'm going to thank Nate for, you know, that going to be the only thing being watched in the apartment for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
I can't tell how serious you are.
No, it's half serious.
Okay, good.
I'm sure I'll enjoy it as much as Keith. But
High School of the Dead?
Yes, clearly. Actually, that's related to my recommendation. Started watching Soul Eater relatively recently. And I watch random animes, and it's pretty good. I like it quite a bit, and Nate is making a glorious face at me.
And so you know exactly why.
I'm not, actually.
That guy holds his guns like a moron.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Yes. Death holds his guns like a moron.
Death the Kid sure does hold his guns like an idiot.
He holds him upside down and pulls the triggers with his pinky. What the fuck?
They're hot chicks.
You don't do that?
But
you play a game where the people, the lady uses her guns off of her heels.
But that's Bayonetta. And that's
I've done that at work with a hacksaw. Sometimes that's just what you got to do.
Or not a hacksaw with your pinky?
Yeah, my saw's off.
Yeah, I'm imagining you and hacksaw together.
Not that hacksaw. My saw's all. I've had to use my pinky finger to run it because I had to hold it upside down. Sometimes.
But it's more a quirky, fun type show than it is a very serious masterpiece.
Oh,
it's
a good show.
It takes its stylistic elements very seriously. Like, there's always, like, pictures of the sun, and the sun is always laughing. But the characters are aware that the sun is doing that.
Right.
And, like, they'll reference it now and then, and clearly the sun is an asshole because it's always laughing at everyone's misfortune. But it's got a very good plot arc. It just runs for 48 episodes, and then they stop it.
I do know there's one thing in it that's lost in English because it's something we don't have that a lot of languages have. There's an androgynous character in that one.
Yes.
That in the Japanese version, they use the masculine and feminine version of pronouns to refer to that character, so you literally don't know what gender it is. But in American, it's more he, she. It's less like a version like nosotros, vosotros that like Spanish has.
Yeah.
The character in question is Kronos.
Yeah.
And they do kind of play it off as a joke, but they do dedicate him as a masculine role. But a lot of the characters are like when they first meet the character, they're just like,
right,
he? Are you sure?
Yeah, they... Oh, my goodness, I'm not going to comment on that.
Yes.
There may or may not... There may have been a situation in real life where Marshall was referring to somebody as she, and I wrote he on a sheet of paper and underlined it and slid it across to Marshall.
That may have happened once.
Yeah, do not make me edit. God, I don't.
I think you already have to.
Most likely. You can, Lance, just cut this out.
Cut it up.
All right.
That is my recommendation.
Cool. Oh, by the way, hi, Travis. We have to call Travis out every so often. He'll listen to a podcast.
Manoff John said we can't call him out anymore because he was mad we weren't trolling him, and then I got the Phil quota by just saying, oh, by the way, Manoff John's a jackass or something, and apparently just insulting him blatantly doesn't count, so he said never mind, so maybe that counted? I don't know.
Well, his father just passed away, too.
Okay,
so two strokes and one funeral right at the end.
It was a stroke and Alzheimer's.
Yeah, Alzheimer's too.
Way to end on a chipper note, fellas. Good job.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
And $2 hand job.
We're all gonna drink another RC-10 and get a stroke.
You guys want some more? I have some more.
No. And on that note.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Go buy Cookie and Cream since I know nobody listening actually did it. Fuck you, buy it.